Council members, I'll ask you to take your seat because I think we have a quorum. Thank you. Oh, then that's fine. Okay. All right. We got a quorum? I think we do. Yeah. Oh, there he is. Okay, good. Good morning. It is 9:06 a.m., Wednesday, September 25th, 2013. I now call the City of Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. It is that time of year again, of time that is important for all of Dallasites. And I'm not talking about the opening of the state fair on Friday, which is that time for the Greek Food Festival, one of the great weekends in Dallas. And in celebration of it, we've invited one of our spiritual leaders in Dallas, Father Chris, with the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Dallas to perform this morning's invocation. The 2013 Greek Food Festival is set for this Friday, September 27th through the 29th. Thank you, Father Chris and Tina Yampanis, for providing the council with all these goodies. They don't need them, but we appreciate them. I'm sure this festival will be more fun and memorable than ever, and hopefully drier than last year. Okay. So thank you for being here and leading us in prayer. And thank you to the whole community for giving back to Dallas a really important cultural event and also a fun time. Following that, Ms. Alonzo will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Father Chris, all rise. Go ahead, you start.
I just want to preface this prayer is at the beginning of the school years in September, we always have a prayer to, even though it's not the beginning of the year, it's the beginning of the school year, and we all like to offer a prayer for the beginning of the school year and the work year and things like that. So I'm here to offer that prayer for you and with you to start this session. Almighty God, you have placed times and seasons under your own authority, who in your infinite compassion and goodness have counted us worthy to enter this new school year of your loving kindness. Bless us and keep us in peace. Enlighten us with the light of your truth and your divine commandments. Establish in our souls your holy will and guide us to every work that is good and pleasing to you. Guard well our houses of worship with your divine grace and remember, Almighty God, our nation. Train up the youth, protect the elderly, encourage the faint-hearted, gather the scattered, bring back those who have gone astray. We ask, O Lord, that as our leaders have been charged with the responsibility of administering the various and many events in Dallas, we pray that you bless them with peace, life, health, and forgiveness, and that you remember these, your most faithful and pious public authorities, crown them with the armor of truth and goodwill, grant to them deep and undeprivable peace, speak good things to their hearts about your houses of worship and all your people, so that within their peace we may lead a calm and quiet life in all piety and dignity. Let your kingdom come upon all of us, Almighty God, the kingdom of love, goodness, peace, and justice, and make us worthy to praise you all the days of our life. Amen.
First of all, I'd like to welcome some important international visitors today. The international entrepreneurs have come from 28 countries that are visiting Dallas on the State Department Exchange Program. They're working locally with entrepreneurs organizations and the World Affairs Council to meet with local business people and venture capitalists, to study best practices of entrepreneurship and small business ownership. We pride ourselves in how we are entrepreneurial in this town, and we know business. And so we're so pleased to welcome you, roll out a red carpet for you. May you learn a lot while you're here and take back to your countries that Dallas is a great place to live and a great place to invest money. And thank you all for being here. Let's give them a big hand. Would you please stand? Thank you. And hopefully you'll learn something from today. I don't know if you will or not, but we'll try. Also, we have a group of students. Father Chris prayed for school year, and they are from the St. Anthony Academy. And so would our students from the St. Anthony Academy stand up, and let's welcome you. Thank you. Thank you. And not to put you on the spot, Ms. Gates, do you have any news?
Yeah, right.
Yes, I'm proud to announce I had a grandson last night at 10:30 p.m. So, my oldest daughter, Jessica, delivered William Gamble Whitsitt V. So, and he and mother are doing great, and I have to say I'm a little exhausted. I was by her side for the 13 hours of labor last night and arrived home about 2 a.m. So, but I'm happy to be here this morning, and everybody's doing well.
That's great. And how time flies. Captain Comeback, Roger Staubach, is a great grandfather.
Gamble is what he's going by. He was welcomed at Presby by not just my husband and I, one set of grandparents, but his other three grandparents on his dad's side. Four great-grandparents were there, six aunts, two uncles, several nieces and nephews. It was quite the crowd. So,
that's great. All right, well, with that, we'll entertain our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have three speakers this morning. They are Isis Brantley, Cornelius Amon, and Jasper Bacchus. If your name has been called, please come closer to the podium. It'll help facilitate the speaking process. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. You will please come forward and state your name and address for the record, and your comments need to be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Isis Brantley. Isis Brantley. Not present. Cornelius Amon.
Good morning to the council and the mayor. I am Minister Cornelius Amon. I'm the founder of PAPCARES, an acronym for People Against Poverty, Crime, and Injustice. My address is 2318 Lanark Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75203. I'm here this morning to comment on the meeting on Saturday concerning conversations about race. As a minister, I'm a representative of God on earth. As a student, I'm a student of science, psychology, the science of human behavior, and sociology, the science of institutions and groups from Sam Houston State University. In attending that meeting on Saturday, I was very interested because one of the serious issues we have, not only in Dallas, Texas, but throughout the world today, is racial issues. The Word of God in Acts 17:26 says, "From one blood, God created every nation of men." In reality, or in truth, there's only one family, one race, and that's the human race. I was very much confused as I sat in that meeting until Mayor Mike Rollins got up to speak. I wanted an opportunity to speak, you know, based on my background and premises and that kind of thing, and obviously, as time winded down, I was not be able to speak. But when Mayor Mike Rollins stood up to speak, he took the words from my mouth. And he said that education, to educate our children, to educate our adults, And he didn't specify that education, but he did specify education. And I want to come in and kind of backtrack a little bit before I go forward, is that Mayor Mike Rawlins here several months ago had a meeting concerning domestic violence. Since that time, we've had several killings. And so I wanted to tie this in because when he spoke to education, domestic violence also is in need of education. Education in anger management. Our court system today is kind of like securing the barn door after the horse has gotten away. Perpetrators are advised, admonished to take anger management after somebody has been hurt or killed. The same thing is true in our society today. Racism. The Bible is true when it says, from one blood God created every nation of man. There's only one race, the human race. One family, the human family. And until we even introduce and implemented these teachings, racial history in our schools, the issues will continue. I deal again in science with cause and effect. And until you deal with the effect of whatever is going on, you will always have the issues. So I most certainly commend Mayor Mike Rawlins. I know God spoke through him because this is what we need. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Jasper Bacchus. Jasper Bacchus. Not present. That concludes your speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will move to our voting agenda.
Your first item on the voting agenda is approval of minutes of the September 11, 2013 City Council meeting.
And a motion and second. Any edits? Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 37 and addendum items number 1 through 10. However, agenda item number 4 has been pulled by Councilmember Griggs, Councilmember Kingston, and Councilmember Medrano. We also have one speaker signed up on that item. Agenda item number 17 is pulled by Councilmember Allen. The city manager has requested deletion of agenda item number 26. Agenda item number 30 through 32 are pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Addendum item number 7 is, and addendum item number 7 and 10 are pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Therefore, for consideration, you have agenda items addendum items number 7 and 9 are being pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. For your consideration, your consent agenda then just consists of items number 2 through 3, 5 through 16, 18 through 25, 27 through 29, 38, 33 through 37, addendum items number 1 through 6, addendum item number 8, and addendum item number 10.
Move through. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Proceed with our pulled items.
Agenda item number 4 is authorize a 3-year service contract for citywide temporary clerical and professional services. Lane Staffing, Inc., most advantageous proposer of 5. We have one individual signed up to speak on this item, Serge Wancombe. Serge Wancombe.
Please come down.
So you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlins. You'll notice the timer at the podium.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Serge Wakombe, and I'm a principal at Romulus Group.
Just speak right into the mic to me so we can hear you. Thank you.
Romulus Group is a company that has been in business for close to 13 years. And in our portfolio, we have companies such as the Dallas Independent School District, where we have been providing services for close to a decade. It's only in January 2012, we start providing services for the city of Dallas. We signed a temporary labor contract with the city of Dallas. We are in the middle of our third year with the city of Dallas for that contract. I won't be going into the specific right now, but Romulus was required at great financial expense to meet extra contractual duty, no part of the contract. Romulus has raised questions with the city attorney. but no relief or offer for relief has been made. I'm here to bring to your attention the budget voted for today, which seems like to bring a new temp agency to replace Romulus Group at an increased cost of $8 million, cost to the taxpayers. We are still in the middle, let me just repeat that we're still in the middle of our third-year contract. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that there is a vote taking place to bring a replacement vendor in the middle of Romulus' contract seems highly irregular and should have raised flag in our mind. Let me ask your office to investigate first the ongoing dispute between the City of Dallas and Romulus and to withhold the voting until we have a chance to fully resolve this matter. There have been illegal and unethical procedure with the purchasing department. And Romulus number, I'm going to go ahead and pass some flyer for some memo, and you can contact Romulus at Romulus' office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, that was your only speaker on the item, and again, the item was pulled by Councilmember Griggs.
Several people have signed up to talk, so Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And just some questions for staff or some ideas for the future. AC, in looking at this deal, this is $20 million over 3 years. That's about $6.8 million per year in temporary staffing. So depending on how much we pay these individuals, you know, if they work $40,000, $50,000 a year per individual, we have somewhere between 120 and 140 full-time equivalents per year in this contract. So maybe as a cost savings, we could pull some of this in-house if we need temp pools in different agencies in the City of Dallas, because I understand people are out. And so for future budgets and future areas, last week I know we were, one thing that we all agreed on, we were passionate about, was our employees and what a great job they do. So possibly some of these temporary positions, we could pull them in-house and have an in-house staffing pool to take some of these positions, because this is a large expense at $6.8 million a year. So I'd just encourage staff to look at some efficiencies that way, pulling some of these positions in-house. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to follow up on what Councilmember Griggs said, in addition to the overall cost of this package, we've got to remember that built into each one of these segments is money for the recruiter. The recruiter has to get paid when we do staffing hires. Lane Staffing, the company that's proposed to provide these services for us, is a well-regarded shop. I have some contacts in the industry. I've heard nothing bad about them, but this is what's known in the industry as a body shop. These people are not anticipated to be super experts, highly skilled. They're not consultants coming in. Their body's filling a hole. And what that raises to me is, again, this idea of where are we on making sure that each employee of the City of Dallas has a professional development plan such that when that person is out, they're not really replaceable by a temp hire. We want our people to be so highly skilled that these sorts of fill-ins, and obviously there are some jobs for which we just have to have temps. You've got to have a body there. That's okay, but I want to make sure that we're analyzing each of these hires to make sure that they're truly necessary. And if they are necessary, then we need to go back and see if the person they're replacing when that person is out is someone who is progressing along at the rate we want them to, fulfilling their own professional development desires, and improving the City of Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, thank you. I am going to speak on item four, but I was slow pushing my button earlier. I want to thank Pat White and Neil Emmons for working on item number five that we just passed, the software for the Love Field Noise. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
As far as item number four, I am on the Dallas City Council, and I support Dallas. This is a Houston-based company, and I know that we have companies in Dallas that can do this just as well. This is a big contract,
If you go to Houston, you can talk to all a lot of business people that go to Houston. It's always Houston first. So I think we need to pay attention to that and support our local-based companies. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Medrano. Mr. Atkins.
Mary, great. Thank you, Medrano. I think we do. I know a year ago, that we here at City Dial, we're talking about local preference, and we try to make sure that I know Ms. Davis and Mr. Caraway and Ms. Hill, they always said, number one, we sure hire people in Dallas first, and that's why we did a local preference back in September 2013. This particular issue, I'm kind of confused. Ms. Grizz, can I ask you a question, Grizz? You know, you spoke first. I was trying to figure out exactly what you were saying. I didn't follow you completely when you were speaking.
Yes, I said the contract's approximately, I believe, 3 years or 36 months for around $20 million. So that works out to about $6.8 million per year. And so you say, how much temporary support is that getting us? If we assume a price somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 per individual for bringing in this temporary help, we fall somewhere between, 120, 140 FTEs. So I was saying it's a possible way in the future where we could save some money and get additional expertise would be to have our own temporary pool within the city of Dallas for these spots that pop up that we need to fill. So that way we would have some Dallas employees that would have some institutional knowledge but could go around and fit these spots, because this is a significant gap to fill each year at $6.8 million. I don't know exactly how many positions will work out, but, 120, 140, that's a significant temporary pool. So if we pulled this in-house, I think it could be a way to save some money.
And AC, I think we had this conversation before. We remember soon with temporary help with a pool with contract. Have we been looking into that and following direction? What are we doing?
With regards to the hiring of temporary help, there has been a number of different discussions as far as different aspects of it. I'm not sure when the last time we have looked at actually creating a temp pool of particular, if it's clerical help or whatever, that would be farmed out. At the very least, that's something that we do need to look at to see if there's, in fact, some savings that can be gained there. I suspect that it would not remove the need for something like this to augment it, but it could help defray some of those costs. As to some of the other issues, I'd have to get up to speed on.
Right. I think way back in 2008, Scott, we were talking about this when we had a layoff, all the employees laid off for the temporary pool, and I thought that's when we were talking about that particular issue. But thank you for bringing it up, Scott, and AC. I hope that you staff can look into it and try to find out what the numbers could be. Thank you very much.
You know, on this subject, to me, I think we've asked the city manager to brief us preparing for next year's budget on how we outsource work. So we've talked about our sanitation workers and outsourcing that. We've got a lot of outsourcing strategies, and I think just having one briefing on that will be helpful for everybody. Mr. Allen.
AC, this is a... see if I get this right, because at the end of the day, this is really the purpose of it is to establish just a firm pricing for services. It's almost like if you're in the banking business, a line of credit. We're saying you can go up to X dollars whether you use it or not. You can go up to it. And so now you know exactly what your costs are going to be, so you can budget better for those costs. So it's a business decision, I guess, on your part. You use it as temporary labor as needed. And most of these positions, they're not assistant city managers that you're using these temps for. But the one thing, too, I noticed that was the fact that if you did see someone come in and they were really a star type temporary individual, that you can hire them without paying any fees or additional charges. Is that correct?
Well, I'm going to need some help on whether or not there's a charge if we bring them on in. Sometimes there is some...
It says, basically just sat here after 12 consecutive weeks.
But it does provide us an opportunity to look at some additional individuals on a temporary basis.
I kind of look at it, too, from the standpoint myself. This is... a business decision that the city manager makes versus policy decisions that the city council makes. And at the end of the day, I do agree the fact that we always want to make sure our employees have career plans that are out there. But under this example, this example to me is not about career plans for our employees. This is about predictability, allowing the city manager the predictability of knowing what the cost is going to be to better predict the budget. Then from that standpoint, as a council member, I can look at the city manager and then particularly bring it to any of these committees that we have and for benchmarking. How well do we benchmark against other cities? How well is management doing? How well are they using this line of credit? Or do they use this line of credit? So I'm not going to go down in the weeds on telling you what to do, AC, when it comes to this scenario, because I'm going to benchmark you and see how well the city of Dallas does at the end of the day. So that's my thought process.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, Ms. Alonzo.
Mayor,
could yes, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'll say one last thing I forgot to say, and I will say about, at the end of the day, I suspect most of these, even though the company itself, the company shows to be Dallas, let's see. Are you saying the company's out of Houston? Where is out of Houston? Is the next one? What's the difference in price on the Houston and the Dallas one? Is it $3.5 million?
No, sir. It's $1.5 million.
Well, at the end of the day, with $1.5 million, most of the temporary staff are going to be the people are going to be here in Dallas, and that we're going to pull from. And if I can save $1.5 million and give that money to Councilman Carraway or Councilman Callahan for those dogs, then I'd really give $1.5 million and save that problem. That's just my thought again on the use of the money.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And understanding the process and also for the future and moving forward in regards to opportunities, how we can be able to work with our staff and our those that are applying, that we would be able to not only talk to them and or work with them to see what we need to do so that they can also be a part of this opportunity. Because if we obtain those that are here, that are, as Mr. Medrano mentioned, that we talk about those that are here that are in the community, that know the communities, so that we can also work together to be able to obtain get good employees so that we can also help them and have them continue here with the city of Dallas, this vibrant city that we want to continue for it to grow or work together to grow. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you. I have a question for staff. Okay. The Houston-based company, so they did an RFP to participate in the bid selection?
Right, so this purchasing department issued a request for proposals to perform this solicitation.
So it goes all over the country, or just here in the state of Texas?
Vendors from all over the country are able to submit a proposal.
Okay. And so this particular company, so how will they, are they going to have an office here? Are they going to move their office here? Are they going to be working out of Houston? So how will they do the process? Will they hire someone here?
They already have an office in Dallas.
Okay. So they already have an office here in Dallas. Okay. So they've been here for a number of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's the name of the Houston-based office? What's the name of the
firm? The name of the firm is Lane Staffing.
What?
Lane Staffing.
Okay. Have we used them before?
Yes.
Okay. So how many years have we used them?
For approximately 3 years, we've used Lane Staffing.
Okay, so there could, so since we've used them for 3 years, they know the bid process, so they know that they are the lowest bid anyway. So they, so all I'm saying, they have the bid process down pat. That's all I'm saying. So let's not make this as if this was something new. They have participated for 3 years. They understand the bid process, so they are coming in at the lowest bid regardless.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so. Would you say that's a fair process?
Yes.
So that is a fair process. So they come in at the lowest bid. They've been selected for the last 3 years, and so they know the bid process. And so they, so you're saying they will apply next year, the year after next, the year after next, the year after next. The year, so they can be here for 15 years knowing the bid process. And so they will continue to get this contract for the next 15 years.
This is a three-year contract?
Now, I understand that. It's 3 years every year. So they got 3 years.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I will be off the council, so they'll come back 3 more years. They will get that same process. They will get selected again, another 3 more years. Then they will get selected again, so another 3 more years. They will get selected again. See, I'm going to go. I know it's going to pass, but AC, this is not bringing other opportunities to the table. So you can be here, your same contract, 3 years. They've had it 3 already. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they've had this for 10 to 12 years, if you break down the numbers. So they're going to have it another 3 years. Then they're going to come back and apply again. They'll have it another 3 years. But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. So this is a contract. And I think, you know, Mr. Mayor, we need to look at these type of contracts where people are applying. They're not giving opportunities for other individuals who want to be to play in the playing field. And I know it's all about, you know, fairness. And if they are the one who understand the bid process, then they are going to continue to come in at a better rate because they understand the bid process. So if we're not training other professional temp service this process, they'll never get the service. So, I mean, I don't think it's fair, but it'll pass, and so let's move on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Yes. With regards to the comments of having an internal temp agency, I think that's worthy of your investigation to look into and make your recommendation because this is indeed your realm. But this is a 3-year contract, so I assume we won't be actually looking at that option for 3 years?
I wouldn't say so. If there was opportunities that we thought were possible, this is a price agreement. That doesn't mean that we have to expend all of the contract that's there. So as an example, we thought setting up 10 clerical staff located someplace, well, that would just then remove our need to access this particular contract.
Okay. Well, great. I appreciate that. And, you know, personally, I'm a little torn because I don't believe the city's a employment agency. I believe we need to provide services. But if, in your view, the best way to provide those services is by bringing that in-house, I support that and appreciate that work.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. We got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 17, authorized payment to Dallas County for processing and housing prisoners at the Lucerne Criminal Justice Center for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Allen pulled the item.
Yes. Mr. Allen.
Joy, please. Councilmembers, Joy and I have had some conversation already, so my comments will be brief. About how many detainees do we have that would fall under this every year?
About 21,000 are processed through intake.
About 21,000? And this gets back into benchmarking and other issues. I had the pleasure to tour the jail with Councilman Kadane, and was very, very, very impressed with the overall operation of the jail. But this is something that I think it's a broader issue, too, that we probably want to look into. So all I ask, Joy, is if we would go ahead and bring a briefing to Budget, Finance, and Audit so we can just have it's a lot of money, but at the same time put it out to the public so they can see exactly what's going on. So appreciate your hard work in this. Thank you very much, Mayor. And
is that a
recommendation to move forward?
Okay, we got a motion. Second. Any other discussion? Mr. Kleinman.
Yes, maybe Joey can step forward as well. I know that this, obviously, contract is necessary, and the county does what they can to house our prisoners. One of the issues that I have commonly heard from police officers, especially beat officers, is that when they take prisoners to the county, they literally have to camp out there for hours trying to get their prisoners processed. And I realize that this is not, the prison is not probably in one of your high service level operations, but it really does concern me that an officer who could be out servicing and fighting crime is just camped out holding prisoners there waiting for them to be processed, at least stare at them. Maybe you can address that a little bit, and maybe we can think about ways that we can get our officers back on the street where they're serving our residents.
Yeah, that's an accurate assessment of some peak times at the jail. And the issue really revolves around the detainees having to see the nurse for whatever ailment that they claim they have. Officers are having to take them to the nurse who's on site, but then there becomes a waiting line to see the nurse. And the county has a contract with Parkland to provide that nursing service, and they've gone back and forth between having one nurse and two nurses, and I don't know if the staffing model for the nurse station fits around the peak times for our officers who make arrests in the late evening hours of the day and having to wait longer. We've worked with the county on this. The county's worked with Parkland on this, but again, it's an accurate assessment during peak times of the wait time for our officers.
Is it possible to have one of our own officers that's just assigned there that our beat officers can just literally turn these prisoners over so they can move on? At least we are providing that babysitting service while we're waiting for them to be seen the nurse, and that way we don't have our officers. That way we have fewer of our officers kind of camped out down there.
Yeah, if it took one, that would be an easy fix, but it would take a staffing model for relief and days off and required training, and you'd end up having several officers basically assigned there to fill that staffing model to sit there and wait, so that wouldn't be efficient. You want the officers out on the street, so we'll look for solutions for this wait time. We've resolved it during the summer months through talking with the county and Parkland about peak times, and then when the summer months pass, it's an issue that goes away for the county. We need to stay on this issue for the entire 12 months, make sure that officers get back on the street quickly, and we'll continue to push that issue.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Yes,
Callahan,
you've
spoken, right? You want to hit your
microphone?
That's right.
Chief, I appreciate those comments, and as Councilman Kleinman has indicated, I've heard not only from just regular patrol officers, NPO officers, and also the DPA, that's a critical concern. You know, we have a shortage in Southeast anyway with officers, and when they take a lot of people down and have to wait, then that causes problems with having coverage in their neighborhood. So a very solid resolution to that would be a great interest to me and the Southeast Patrol, so we can do a little bit better job. But thank you.
You're welcome. It may be a conversation with the commissioner's court that we need, because it is a funding issue. The cost of the nurse station to the county from Parkland would be some issue that the county commissioner's court would have to help us with. So your help in that conversation would really push us along as well.
Mayor, I just wanted to add that I do have a meeting with Commissioner Teresa Daniel on that very subject Friday morning. We'll talk about that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Chief, and Mr. Kleinman and Mr. Callahan and Jerry. I think we're right on point. The time that it takes when our officers deliver the arrestee to Luce Sterrett, I understand it takes 2 or 3 hours of the officer's time.
Yes.
Not just with the Parkland initiative, but just trying to check in. And I would like for us to begin, Mr. Cadane, in public safety, for us to begin some discussions to see how we could have a handoff officer, and I don't know, Chief,
right.
That could do the take-in once the officers deliver, and which would bring our officers back to the street.
Right.
So whatever it is, so that those officers won't be tied up 3 or 4 hours at Luce Sterrett and off that beat for those that length of time. If we can come up with some way to hand them off to another Dallas police that would continue to do whatever needs to be done, the procedures and the paperwork. So with Mr. Cadane, I would hope that we would be discussing that at public safety. As you being chair, I'm sure that we will, but I want to say Callahan and Kleinman, that's kind of where I'm on board with. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief Brown.
Yes.
Are we saying that when we take someone to jail and we try to enter them, some of them have to go through the nursing
yes.
station, just some of them,
if
correct?
If they claim some
they're sick
ailment,
or something, yeah.
we'll take them to the nurse to diagnose whatever that may
so
end up being.
So our officer has to wait till they go through that process because...
The exchange to the county hadn't been made. So
right.
It's our prisoner until they're booked. They're not booked until they're cleared by the nurse.
So
it's still, that prisoner still belongs to us until they make it through the nurse, because if they have to go to Parkland, they're still our prisoner, and we have to take them to Parkland. And that'd be the nurse's decision. And so the county hadn't made the exchange of it being their prisoner at that point.
Well, I agree with Mr. Caraway. We need some kind of handoff system to where once we've taken them and try to incarcerate them, they belong to the county then, either way. And there should be a system that through the county or the city both, where we've got someone that does nothing but transfer there in between Parkland. Because, I mean, that could tie an officer up all day long.
It can for during the peak times of the day. It could be several hours, more than 2 or 3. It could be 3 or 4 hours, 5 or 6 hours during peak times. Because there's prisoners coming from the penitentiary that's in line, and we sometimes get behind those prisoners being booked in. A third of the prisoners in that county is infirmed. And so there's a capacity issue with seeing the nurse that I think we will need help with the commissioner's court on some funding. And with us, as far as a handoff to maybe one of our officers, that could be a civilianization discussion and not a sworn officer discussion that we should bring as an option. And there's a lot of that discussion about civilianization that we could become more efficient, that Mr. Gonzalez and I have had, that really is a significant part of being more efficient for us.
Good. I'll get with you and Joey, and we'll bring that before public safety, if that's okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
If I might underscore the word civilianization, to the extent that can be possible, and it might be in some of what is being described here, you have the situation where you have a person that's there, but at a much different and reduced cost. And so those are the kinds of things that we're going to be bringing up as this next year moves forward. Throughout the police operation, not only this one as well.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
As we can see, that this is a lot to the conversation. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different agencies and government groups that are involved in it, and that's why it's important to have this conversation. I would highly, and then that's why we'll bring it to budget, finance, and audit so that we can dwell even deeper. I would highly recommend for the council members that have not let the sheriff do a tour of the jail to go over and take that tour. I know Councilman Cadane, we both found that to be very eye-opening and, quite frankly, very impressed and impressed with the cooperation between the parties. But the better we cooperate, the better we can provide the services and at the same time lower the cost. So I would highly recommend that if you haven't toured the jail, that you get the sheriff and set that up and go do it. It'll be an eye-opener, particularly when we have these discussions. So we'll be so much further out in front of the discussion. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. So we had a motion and a second, and we've had our discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 30 is authorize a contract with Texas Standard Construction Limited, lowest responsible bidder of three, for the construction of a hike and bike trail and associated storm drainage water and wastewater opportunities adjustments for the East Dallas Veloway Phase 2 extension from Elm Street to Perry Avenue. Items number 31 and 32 also need to be considered collectively with 30. Agenda item number 31 is authorize a multiple use agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation for the construction of a hike and bike trail for the East Dallas Veloway Phase 2 extension from Elm Street to Perry Avenue. Agenda item number 32 is authorize a hike and bike trail joint use agreement with Dallas Area Rapid Transit for the joint use of the railroad corridor right-of-way for the construction of a hike and bike trail for the East Dallas Veloway Phase 2 extension from Elm Street to Perry Avenue. Councilmember Kingston pulled the items.
Thank you. Entertain your questions or motion, Mr. Kingston.
It's in Councilmember Medrano's district. I would support a motion to approve this item. We just need to have a little discussion on it. I can make that motion.
In a second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Medrano, second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I assume Gonzalez, can we have Rick Galser on?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Just as to get the conversation started, this is a short piece of trail, but it's a neat piece of trail. It connects to the rest of the Veloway that's already been constructed, and it's a good use of partnerships with our other transit entities that doesn't require money out of the general fund for 100% of the project. And you know, I'm thrilled to see more trail stuff. I just have a couple of questions for you, Rick. Why there? Tell us where it is, why we're doing this project right now, and where the funding comes from.
Sure. This trail is located off of Hill Street, just along the dark railroad tracks, and it'll extend in a north-south direction. It's going to be connecting the edge of Baylor area to the north end of Fair Park. It goes underneath I-30.
And I understand that the north end of the Veloway currently does not connect to any other part of the trail system, but ultimately will connect to White Rock once the county builds out its portion. Is that right?
Those are the plans, yes. Under the 12th bond program, we've put in some money to partner with the county to take it all the way up to the Katy Trail.
The southern end of what we're about to approve is going to go under 30 and give us a connection to Fair Park, correct?
That's correct.
And at some point, we'll be able to connect the southern end to the rest of the trail network through means we haven't really planned out yet. Is that about right?
That is the intent, okay. Is to continue the connection.
It takes money and planning.
Absolutely.
The thing that I'm trying to highlight here is that to make a trail system work, the network has to be connected. We are not trying to build out isolated parts of a trail. That's not the ultimate goal here, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Ultimate goal, connect all trails as we get the planning, the funding to do so, and proceed.
And Mr. Mayor and colleagues, Jill Jordan and Rick Galseron have really worked with me to try to find money and the logistical means to connect some of these trails. I think they understand the policy of this council. But one thing that I am told is that we are going to move the planning and management of trails to a comprehensive management center that controls streets, sidewalks, pedestrian improvements, bikes. I'm looking forward to that because I think comprehensive budgeting for this process is better than this piecemeal, scratch, catch-as-catch-can, whatever cliche you want to use, to fund what I think is a very important policy goal of this council and this city, which is to have a connected trail system. So I'm really looking forward to that in the new year, and we'll be asking for your support for those changes. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rick, could you give me just a brief update on what's going on with the White Rock Trail concept, particularly in my district area near Longview Station?
I know there is the planning up of White Rock Trail, which would be on the eastern end, which is also known as the SOPAC Trail. That's going to connect Villaway all the way up to Katy Trail. It's going to be a county-Dallas partnership. We've put some money in the 2012 bond program. I believe there's about $2 million city part. Kind of supposed to match the same. And we're trying to get a schedule from the county because they're going to be leading that project, that design and that construction. And we're hoping to see something going within the next 2 years, if not shortly thereafter.
So correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that from the horse park all the way up to Cyan Road and that vicinity, that's going to be the full connection.
Right. That's there's another element. I'm not totally prepared. Joe, you want to brief on that?
We are putting the final touches on a master plan for a trail that we call it the Spine Trail for the forest, and it will connect Audubon to the Arboretum is kind of the banner, but it's actually going to connect I-20 at the Gateway Park that we've been working on down in District 8, and it will go from there up to Audubon through the golf course area up past the horse park. It will have connections over on Elam Road back into your district. It will connect up to the DART station at the Lake June area, and it will continue all the way up, kind of following the east bank of White Rock Creek, all the way up to White Rock Lake. And it will have side trails off both into your district and into Ms. Davis's district. Oh, there's Ms. Davis, on the other side of the river.
Okay. We had a Longview, Parkdale-Longview Association meeting last night, and that was a question that they asked. So
right.
As and things develop more closely, we might want to have the city staff go out and meet with that homeowners group there or something, give them a full update.
We would be happy to do so, and you all will be seeing the master plan probably later this fall, maybe into December, November time frame at the Transportation Committee meeting. And Trinity Trust has already launched the fundraising campaign for that trail, where they're going to be looking for corporate interests to give donations and have it named in different segments for different companies.
One quick follow-up. How will the trail cross Cyan Road? Is that an issue? Are they going underneath, over, or is there a bridge? Or
I'm not sure.
Don't know yet.
We'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you very much. This trail, where does it connect into the rest of our trail system? Talking about Villaway? Yeah, I'm talking about this component that you're talking about here.
This component,
yes.
Sure. It is part of the Villaway Trail. That's correct. There's been different terms used for
it. But where does it connect to existing trail system?
It is connecting
at the Santa
on
Fe
Hill
Trail.
Street. Yes, to the Santa
Fe. At the end of the Santa Fe Trail, it connects to this trail, and then at the end of the Santa Fe, you can go right to go to Baylor and go left to go to Fair Park, right? And the Santa Fe Trail is managed by what department in the city?
It will ultimately be managed by the Parks Department.
Okay, so why isn't Parks building this trail?
There was an agreement made on some trails being constructed by the Parks Department, some by Public Works.
Okay. And when Public Works built the Santa Fe Trail, they had a similar agreement with Parks? Yes.
We work with closely
right.
with Parks Department.
And the Public Works was going to build Phase 1, I believe, and Parks was going to build Phase 2 on the Santa Fe Trail. And as I recall, Parks finished Phase 2 before Public Works even started Phase 1. This particular vendor that you've selected, how many projects have they done for the Parks Department? I'll answer for you, none. My point being, I don't, and we've talked about this frequently, I don't understand why Public Works seems to want to get into the park and recreation business, and why Public Works seems to be building their own portfolio of park and recreation projects.
The agreement that was struck between Public Works and Parks that was done back when all of this was being done is when the bike trails were a part of the regional system, the Veloway, where it keeps talking about. So you had kind of intergovernmental participation. The two departments agreed back then that Public Works would handle those kinds of trails. The Park Department would handle the trails that were more tied to our recreation, and they were meant more for recreational users. The Veloway system was actually envisioned to be a transportation system, more for high-speed bikers using it for transportation, like going to jobs, that kind of thing, as opposed to recreational users. And so we had the overlap between the two departments, and that was the thinking at the time.
And as long as we're talking about the Spine Trail, is that a recreation system or is that a transportation system?
Well, at this point, the Spine Trail Master Plan is being done by the Park Department, and it's a part of the Trinity, which is also a part of the regional trail system. So technically, it's both.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman, Mr. Adams.
Jim, on the trail, just speaking of the trail and the master plan, the connectivity from Glendale Park, you know, going east, trying to go with Joppy to the Trinity, to the AT&T. I am seeing the master plan to that. Is there a connectivity and there's a timeline on the master plan when they're going to connect that portion of the trail on the southern sector?
From Glendale Park,
yes,
over.
So remember Glendale Park, we did have a grant, you know, from the, I think from the TxDOT about a couple of years ago, about $1 million to.
Well, I think that one is actually being done by the Park Department, just
okay,
to kind of further confuse things. And I think the challenge there is getting across the 45 area, and I think that one is the one that people are still scratching their heads.
Is that the same one that Mr. Caraway was talking about, going over Joppy?
Well, the one that Mr. Caraway is always talking about is the connection across the Trinity River itself, and that would connect this, what we're calling the Spine Trail, over to Joppy.
So we have one trail to disconnect from Glendale that we,
well,
the Park Department
is
doing.
All we need for Mr. Caraway's trail is money to build it. We know how to do it. We know where it goes. It's part of the plans that we've worked with the Corps of Engineers on. So his trail is basically ready to go. All we need are construction dollars, whereas the other trail is not as far along in terms of the planning.
So what is the timing? What do we need for the Glendale Trail to cross 45? Where are we?
We'll have to get back with you on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. No other discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 7. Authorized professional services contracts with 25 consulting firms for the engineering design of 2 alley petition projects, 62 alley reconstruction projects, 3 street petition projects, 24 street reconstruction projects, 3 target neighborhood projects, and 7 street reconstruction thoroughfare projects.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion and discussion. Mr. Adkins.
Yes, Mayor, I'm going to make the motion go forward, but I had a question. Could someone...
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Please, go ahead.
Okay. My question, Mayor, is number one, is that when we do bond campaigns, you know, 2012 bond campaigns, and when did we start to sell those bonds out, and how do you make sure that all 14 district is citizen is hearing when the start date on their project, on their capital project. on this particular project, Mayor, that, you know, I think my citizen came to most of the bond meetings and had their questions answered. And the big problem when I pulled this, Mayor, is number one, because of alleys. And I know that that Mayor Soon did a great job going back and made sure we had addition, you know, $2.8 million for every council district to do whatever you want to do with it. You know, I did most of mine in alleys and street. And I was just kind of disappointed in the structure and the schedule, how they did all alleys. I look at this agenda, this addendum today, there is no alleys under reconstruction south of the Trinity River. And that's my concern. And I have talked to staff back there, and they see that I want some kind of insurance that I can't do anything now about those alleys because it's already been earmarked and already been put forward today as a vote. But going forward, that I want to make sure that when we sell bonds, that anything, infrastructure, alleys, streets, or whatever, I want to make sure that I'll be part of that discussion to make sure the whole city is treated fairly on the time and like manner. And on this particular deal, I think that the whole city was not treated fairly on the time like matters, especially with alleys, because there is no alleys in this addendum right here that is south of the Trinity River. No alleys repaired, and that's my concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other discussion, Mr. Cadane?
Yes, sir, I agree. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. And I notice we don't have any in District 9. How are these picked in order to develop the alleys? How did you decide which ones you were going to do?
We assigned all projects. We put out a request for proposals to all the engineering groups, and they all got assigned work. By the time between their assigned work and we negotiate a fee, there's a period of time. Some were able to get it done faster, and some are taking longer. Could be complexity of the job, but they were all given to them regardless of geographical location. So as we get them in, we don't want to wait and start awarding them until we get them all at one time. As we get them in bunches, we want to assign them and get the engineering design people working on those right away.
Where does the request for proposal come from?
Public Works puts that request out. And they're the ones that are responsible for working with those requests and assigning those projects.
So they're the ones that are out on the street saying, we need to go here, here, and here.
That's correct. And again, we added everybody, all the region, and as we negotiate those projects, get them in, then we want to go ahead and try to award them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. I would encourage this council, Mayor, that we take a tour and take a look. And then once we see with our own eyes what is actually happening throughout the entire city, then you'll kind of understand better why our comments and our votes reflect our feelings. In Oak Cliff, in the area in which I represent, I have the absolute worst alleys, and you cannot even tell. And I invite the media to take a tour with us just to see the alleys, and then let's go back and reflect on this item and discussion that we're talking about today. We can't even define in certain areas. If you go down Sunnyvale and you look to the left or you look to the right, you can't even define where an alley is because you can't even see through it. So where we're fixing the concrete and the alleys, you can't even drive through certain alleys. And I want to include your district respectfully, Mr. Callahan, when I speak of the Southern Dallas. The weeds won't even let you go through there, Mayor. You wouldn't even believe that it's an alley that exists. And it's disheartening when we sit here to approve
Mayor Pro Tem, and we're going to move the whole city forward, but the whole city should share into these opportunities of a better quality of life. And for us to be completely just left out, but we continue to sit here and approve it, which, oh, we're going to move it forward. But we do this time after time after time and after time. I'll just go out and take some. In fact, I want to take a tour. AC, I would love for us to, for those council members that would love to be a part of it, let's just go on an alley adventure and go and let's just see. And once you see, then maybe we collectively will come up with something that all citizens of this city can benefit from. You can't drive down my alleys. And that's why you cannot drive a car down the alleys primarily. Am I right, Rick? You know the areas I'm speaking of? You've seen these alleys?
Different regions have alleys that are very difficult to get to, and yes, you do have your share.
Not my share. I have the lion's share. I do not have my share. I have the lion's share. And it is something that, Mayor, we have to and should address. Oh, and I know that Ms. Grayson is happy, and I'm happy for Ms. Grayson because her number one thing are alleys, and so we're not going to stop that at all. We're going to do that. But I want us to really get a grip on what we're doing here. And for us to go and do an alley that may have a pothole and neglect an alley that you can't even access, you know, then we got to look at our priorities. And then we do need to have better education because people do have a responsibility of upkeeping their ends and their sides of the alley. But who's going to upkeep it when you can't even go down to decide where the upkeep needs to go? And from that, and I'm going to close, Mayor, but from that, Ms. Callahan, we have possums, coons, rats, and everything that's in these alleys. And you cannot go down these doggone alleys. Now, I would like for us to take a tour. When can we take this tour, Ms. Gaffra? Ms. AC, Mr. City Manager, when can we take a tour? How quick can we do it? The van's got gas in it?
Well, within the next couple of weeks, I'm sure we can find some time.
All right, well, let's find some time. Let's find some kind. Let me just invite council members. Jerry need to go, and let's take some cameras. I took a picture on my way here today, and I got stray dogs and baskets at the stop sign together, okay? And so we need to do that. All right, I'm through with that for now. But I want you to know, I'm with you, Tanea, and Rick, you know, money just can't keep flowing one way, and we don't do something on the other side. So if y'all find some special funds that we can begin, a special program that we can begin to address this stuff. And I'm not talking about 2 years from now. Doggone it, I'm talking about immediately, expeditiously. Let's figure out something, and you know, we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Scott. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I certainly concur with what Mayor Pro Tem Adkins and also Councilman Carraway have indicated that the recent electronic town hall that I held just a few weeks ago with former manager Assume, that a couple of people called in specifically with regard to alley issues. Keep in mind that the southern part of Dallas is one of the oldest parts of Dallas. Oak Cliff joined Dallas in 1903. A lot of those houses were built, you know, before that time. A lot of the alleys that were constructed, they didn't have proper amount of rebar put in, proper amount of sand and gravel, et cetera. So they weren't built properly to begin with. So thus, we have a maintenance problem now. And, of course, it's been exceptionally dry the last few years, so we've suffered through that. I was at the Salvation Army yesterday over in Pleasant Grove, and there's one alley you can't even go past. A lot of the tree limbs are 2 and 3 feet off the ground. Our regulations, some code stipulates they're supposed to be 15 feet, but you can't even bring a trash truck or a recycle truck down the alley because they're impassable. So we've got a lot of those issues, but coupled with the fact that they're impassable because of the uneven terrain. So I certainly agree with that. We'd like to get our fair share. The majority of North Dallas was built since the 1950s. Probably built with better concrete in our neighborhoods. I went to Parkdale and Longview Homeowners last night. They gave me a T-shirt established 1926. So a lot of these alleys have been there since 1926. So go figure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you. I'm passionate about streets and alleys. I've got an issue in District 13, and I do want my colleagues to know, if you read the 2012 bond briefing, District 13 had the lowest rating. So it's factual. District 13 had the lowest rating on streets. I heard about them. I could name, you know, streets and alleys. I have unimproved alleys, and I have impassable alleys. I have alleys filled with rats, possum, raccoons, coyotes, and bobcats in District 13, and I have them in my backyard. So it's not just South District or Southern Dallas a problem. It's in North Dallas too. The bond briefing says I have 175 roads that need reconstruction, 65 roads that need repairing. So I recognize some of my roads are in this project. I thank you for that. But I do think the city needs to take a serious look on how we're going to address streets and roads. Is it just going to be in the bonds, or is it going to be some in general fund? And I know we're doing a balance. Forrest Turner and I have sat down. We've talked about roads. I've done a tour. Dwayne, you can come. I'll ride with you, and then you can come and ride with me. So we can take a look at all of our streets. But it is a citywide issue affecting all 14 of our districts. And I think we need to all take a serious look and maybe in the next bond program have these alleys and roads repaired so we can all be proud.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. Let me ask a question. For the next bond package, because this last bond package was not a lot of money to do a lot of things that we want to see in our district, are we looking at a much larger bond package, AC, or is it too early to tell?
It's much too early to tell. There's a lot of discussion that has to go on with this council with regards to that in terms of scope and desires for just with financial limits.
Okay. When it comes to alley, Rick, is the process, is it the homeowner's responsibility to pay share of alley costs, or is it all strictly on a bond package?
These are treated in the bond package.
Okay, yes. Okay. So if there are alleys that's in your district that have overgrown weeds and other things like that, whose responsibility is that to cut those weeds? Is it the city or the homeowners?
The city will respond to a lot of that overgrown part,
okay.
But we do try to involve the homeowners.
Okay, so if I have some alleys that
it's really the property owners, and so that's one of the things that code does is they work with homeowners to get the vegetation out of the alleys. We only get involved when there's no one has stepped up to the plate and we're absolutely desperate, and even then, we don't typically do that because that's not our responsibility. It's the property owners.
Okay.
Then so you ask the question about who pays for things. If there is no alley there now and we're going to pave it for the first time, the citizens help pay for the alley. We have alley assessments. If it is an alley reconstruction, so it's there but it's disintegrated and needs to be reconstructed, the city pays 100% of that cost.
Okay, so how will you know if the city needs to pay 100% of that cost for the homeowner?
Because that means that the alley is already there. It's either made out of asphalt or it's made out of concrete.
But
if there's no alley there now, that's an alley petition, and they will be assessed for a portion of the cost.
Okay, so the petition is that the homeowners will have to go out and get a petition done, and then once they get the petition done, then they send that petition back to the city.
To Public Works.
And then the process starts from there. So somebody has to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you have an area that has no alleys now and you want, and they are asking you all for getting alleys done, then what we will do is we have staff from Public Works that will prepare the petition. Your service area coordinator will take that paperwork, work with the citizen group to walk the petition around to get the necessary signatures.
Now, let me ask you, if there are alleys in said district, and I have some alleys in South Dallas proper. They are alleys, but there is no asphalt on them. It's just like a dirt alley. So what's that process?
That's the alley petition process.
Okay.
So,
so somebody will have to go identify those alleys, take pictures of those alleys, and then bring them back to city staff.
Actually, all we need is the citizen to say, I'm interested in doing a petition. We will do the petition form. We can't accept random petitions. Sometimes a neighborhood will give us a bunch of signatures, and we can't deal with that. It has to be in a particular way so that we're knowing that we're dealing with the right property owners and we're not dealing with tenants and that kind of thing.
And renters.
So we will prepare the petition form.
Okay.
And then the service area coordinator can help that citizen walk the petition around the neighborhood, have a neighborhood meeting to explain all of that. Staff from Public Works will come and help explain it. At this point, we get very few alley petitions. Most of the work that we're doing is alley reconstruction, where we already have an alley there, it's deteriorated, and the city is paying for it.
Now, for South Dallas proper, I have some alleys, and I identify my alleys on the GIS mapping.
Right.
So with my GSI mapping, I have 17 alleys in South Dallas proper that is just that's without concrete. The percentage... What's the percentage for the homeowner?
It varies. It's based on the improvement value to their property.
Okay.
And so it probably is a couple hundred dollars is my guess. Somewhere several hundred dollars to $1,000 typically for an alley in your part of town.
Anywhere from $400 to $1,000. Now, if they pay their portion, then will it cost their sanitation or anything on their bill to go up any extra?
It won't affect their sanitation. Your garbage rate is your garbage rate.
Okay.
However, we do have we call it the easy payment plan.
Mm-hmm.
People can pay their assessment out over time.
Okay.
And they will get a bill from us, and then they can pay it out over multiple years.
Okay. So if they don't have the $200 or the $400 or even the $1,000 to pay for their percentage of a new alley that they want that's already there, then you would give them a payment plan over a couple of years.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. He's not here. I'm sorry. I didn't wake up. Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen.
Make sure I understand this. Basically, when we're talking about streets and alleys and high-dollar things, we're talking about a bond program. So I want to correct?
Correct.
So I want the citizens to understand any conversation we're having basically is a long-term, long-range. We don't even know when the next bond program is going to come up, correct?
Correct. We're guessing 2017, but that's just an estimate.
And since we didn't have any really quality of life issues in the last bond program, council members, when it comes up, probably going to be asking for new rec centers and new libraries and anything that doesn't, they're going to be asking for glitter and not be asking for streets and alleys.
Well, I would assume you all are going to be asking for all of it because
right.
We're going to have pent-up demand in every area.
And this last bond program that we did, it was basically all streets and sewers and infrastructure.
It's streets, drainage, and economic development.
Yeah. And so, and then that basically came off a needs improvements list.
Right.
And then y'all took the needs improvements list that we as council members and staff and all add to that. Y'all went out, took a look. You ranked them as far as whether you want a street or an alley or what. And then you turned around and asked, I know you asked me,
mm-hmm.
How did you want me, what was my opinion, how did I want to rank it? And then we kind of came to a meeting of the minds, and we said that's what we want to do. And now what I'm seeing in this is the result. You're saying, all right, this is on the bond program. This is what you said, council members. Now, this portion of this we're getting ready to do, and I ask your approval. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay, just want to make sure I clarify. Because there's need citywide. There's no one area or the other because we can all sing the blues. on this. So I just wish, and we still, AC, don't we still have billions of dollars of needs that are out there?
Absolutely.
I believe the last number I saw was 10.
Yeah.
10 billion.
And then what happens if we do all that onto our debt ratio? I'm being facetious. So the other deal is to raise taxes and such as we go and think and just kind of have to take these steps along the way. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Jerry, thank you for bringing that up. You know, the reason why I brought this up, and number one, my district is 56 square miles, 1,000 miles of streets in the repair, 1,000 miles. And it's not a density area. And you look at Cleburne, Riley, you look at Pleasant Grove, you look at Moses Third Affairs, it's a whole lot. If you compare that to everyone else, we are there. But we annexed Cleburne back in 1981, so there's still a whole lot of need to be done in that area. And there is not that much economic opportunity in that area because we don't have the streets and the thoroughfare we need to do. When we go try to do one street, it's not just a half a block, it's a miles. It's miles and miles, and we cannot repair those streets. So when I was brought this up about alleys, it's pertaining to 1,000 miles in District 8. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Addendum item number 9 is an ordinance amending Chapter 52, Administrative Procedures for the Construction Codes of the Dallas City Code, an ordinance amending Chapter 53, Dallas Building Code, an ordinance amending Chapter 54, Dallas Plumbing Code, an ordinance amending Chapter 55, Dallas Mechanical Code, and an ordinance amending Chapter 57, Dallas 1 and 2 Family Dwelling Code, all of the Dallas City Code, and an ordinance amending Chapter 60, Dallas Fuel Gas Code, of the Dallas City Code to adopt the 2006 International Codes with regional and local amendments regulating construction work in the city, providing a penalty not to exceed $2,000, providing a saving clause, providing a severability clause, and providing an effective date. Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, pull the item.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, I'm going to move this forward, Mayor. There is a change in the motion because when it was sent out, there was some errors in the addendum. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. Okay, move to approve this item with the following change. Delete the amendment to Chapter 53 on reflectivity in accordance with the recommendation of the Economic Development Committee on September 17, 2013, with the reflectivity amendment to be considered as a later date after further study of the issue. Amend Chapter 53 so that the demolition permit are valid for 2 years according with the Section 245.005 of the Texas Local Government Code. And there will be a meeting.
We need a second now.
Thank you. Second.
Mr. Medrano, second.
Thank you. And there will be a meeting later on this week, and it is going to come back to economic development before the end of this year.
Okay. Any discussion?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Just to clarify, it is to adopt the 2012, not the 2006 version of the international code.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'll turn over the rostrum to Mr. Atkins.
We move now to the beginning of your actual individual items. Agenda item number 38. We distributed an amended report to you just earlier this morning around the dais to incorporate an additional appointee. All appointees are to be appointed for the 2013-2015 term, with the exception of one appointee, and I'll clarify that when the individual's name is read into the record. To the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission, Tarek L. Rajeff is renominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, you have David Perez Jr., with Volunteer Cultural Board experience, is nominated by Councilmember Medrano. Henry K. Song, with Volunteer Cultural Board experience, is renominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Stephen S. Harris, with Performing Arts experience, is renominated by Councilmember Allen. Roger Carroll, with Cultural Institution Management experience, is renominated by Councilmember Kingston. To the Community Development Commission, John Hazelton is renominated by Councilmember Gates. Pam Gerber is renominated by Councilmember Kingston. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Phil Foster is renominated by Councilmember Hill, and Martin Birnbach is nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Civil Service Board adjunct members, Michael Perziquas is renominated by Councilmember Medrano. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, William Cox III is renominated by Councilmember Kleinman. To the Municipal Library Board, Jeremiah M. Streetman is renominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Park and Recreation Board, Selena Barajas is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. She is the one single nominee this morning that will be appointed for the remaining of the 2011-2013 term, as well as the full 2013-2015 term. Lawrence S. Jones is renominated by Councilmember Gates. Matt Houston is nominated by Councilmember Carraway, and that was the correction noted in the report distributed again earlier this morning. To the Senior Affairs Commission, John L. Johnson is nominated by Councilmember Hill. Felix Lasada is renominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, and both nominees meet the 55 year of age or older qualification. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Boards, Jeff Sullivan, who is a business owner in the South Dallas Fair Park area, is nominated by Councilmember Hill. Gerald Lee Larson, with business development experience, is renominated by Councilmember Allen. Your full council appointments are Trent Hughes, who's renominated to the Housing Finance Corporation Board by Councilmember Grayson. Ed Oakley, who fills the registered voter qualification, is renominated to the Reinvestment Cell 16 Board, Davis Garden, by Councilmember Hill. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Hill would like to be recognized first, after which Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized.
Okay, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, Madam Secretary read into the record that Hill nominated Mr. Sullivan to the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund. That's actually Mr. Cadane. I do have a person that I'm going to appoint to that board, but that's Mr. Cadane. On the Senior Affairs Commission, I nominated John L. Johnson to serve as my individual appointee to the Senior Affairs Commission. During his required background check, I learned that Mr. Johnson had attendance issues, which the City Secretary's office informed me of in accordance with Chapter 8 of the Dallas City Code. I believe Mr. Johnson will be a committed member of the Senior Affairs Commission, and I recommend his reappointment.
I second that reappointment of Mr. Okay. Johnson.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to now be recognized, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I renominated Selena Barajas to serve as my individual appointee to the Park and Recreation Board for the remainder of the term, as well as the new term coming up for 2013-2014. During her required background, as indicated by the Madam Secretary, I learned that she had attendance issues, which the City Secretary informed me, and in accordance to Chapter 8 of the Dallas City Code. Because I believe Ms. Barajas will be a committed member of the Park and Recreation Board of Directors, I moved approval of her reappointments, along with the appointment and reappointment of all the nominees and renominees read by Madam Secretary.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes carry. Next.
Agenda item number 39 is authorize an appeal of the City Plan Commission's decision to approve a minor amendment to the development plan for Plan Development District Number 696 for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-16A single-family district uses on property bound by Welch Road, Ridgeside Drive, Crestline Avenue, and Rickover Drive. We do have six individuals signed up to speak on this item. Those speakers are Louisa Meyer, Carl Crawley, Dallas Cothran, Randall Mulry, Mary Fent, and Philip John. If your name was read into the record, if you would please step forward closer to the podium, it'll facilitate the speaking process. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak, and you would address your comments to Mayor Atkins. Again, your first speaker is Louisa Meyer.
I think I'm going to go first, if that's okay.
Okay.
Self-selected.
All right. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Dallas Cothran, 900 Jackson Street, representing the Dallas Independent School District. We've worked with the neighborhood and want to make some additional improvements, and pursuant to that would, after this, anticipate processing immediately a minor amendment to provide some additional landscaping. I think in many ways this is a good example of all the things that we like about the DISD. W.T. White is the 77th best public school in America. One of the reasons is because they have so many kids that are involved in leadership activities like the ROTC. There are 600 kids between Cary and W.T. White that are involved in ROTC. That is really, I think, a testament to, you know, the teachers and leadership at that school. As a result of that, they need facilities. We had some members of the community give a grant, just a gift to W.T. White, so that they could have some improved facilities, and that's triggered some additional needs on campus. And so, you know, that it's great that so many children are involved in those kind of activities. That's the kind of thing that helps keep them in school and focused and doing well. The district's committed to making all the campuses as good as they can be. We've got some good input on additional landscaping, and we will make good on all those things immediately with another minor amendment. So we're here to answer any questions, and some members of the neighborhood as well. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Louisa Meyer.
Good morning. My name is Louisa Meyer, and I live at 4635 Sugar Mill. That's 600 feet from W.T. White High School, where my two sons graduated and where my oldest now teaches and coaches. This is my 20th year of volunteering for DISD. Of relevance to the decision before you today, I've served on DISD's Attendance Zone Boundary Committee, Dallas Achieves. I was appointed speaker to promote the 2008 bond program, and I'm currently the chairman of the Citizens Budget Review Commission. I love DISD. I've lived in my home for 27 years. I'm very familiar with past zoning issues. I learned recently that minor amendments are processed by the city at 60 per year. Two in the last 16 years have reached this level. That's one in 500. While I'm frustrated that this issue has been elevated to this level, I'm happy to have the opportunity to speak to you today to share my background and perspective. W.T. White, Thomas Jefferson, and Hillcrest High Schools are all over capacity. Attendance zone adjustments will not resolve the issue before you today. These 50 and 75-year-old buildings have been adjusted for mandates and program changes. The first portable was installed in 1973. Old buildings not compatible to today's needs is common throughout DISD. The 2002 and 2008 bond programs were each $1.3 billion, while the need was described at $2.6 billion. There are 1,500 homes in my neighborhood, but we have no neighborhood association. We have a crime watch which is loosely organized, communicating through email and website posts. I first learned about the appeal when it was posted on a neighborhood blog of 200 members. Despite no formal neighborhood association, in the past, I've watched a handful of neighbors block youth soccer play from our elementary school for 15 years, eliminate a DART bus stop along Welch Road that serves students, relocate school bus and carpool traffic to narrower streets, all without consulting the other neighbors or students impacted by the decision. The notification area you're familiar with includes 55 homeowners. Two responded to the letter sent July 18th. None appeared before the City Planning Commission, though another speaker you will hear from today, Randy Mulry, did. 25 portables were already in place when one of the complainants purchased her home in 2007. Between 20 and 23 portables were already in place when the other homeowner purchased her home in 2000. There are 200 members of the junior ROTC program waiting for additional classroom space, 200 athletes waiting for a weight room, and six teachers without classrooms. As a member of the Budget Commission, I ask you to consider the financial impact of changing this decision and all the staff time that's been put forth. With all the DISD commentary in recent weeks criticizing adults for putting themselves ahead of children, please show Dallas that you put children first by allowing this portable to remain in place.
Your next speaker is Carl Crawley. Randall Mulry, Mary Fent, and Philip John will follow.
Hi, my name is Randy Mulry. I live at 3226 Dutchess Trail, Dallas, Texas. I am a W.T. White parent and volunteer, and I'm speaking here to request that the Zoning and Planning Commission's recommendation to approve the zoning amendment to be upheld, mainly because of, at this point in time, the disruption to the campus and the 200 to the 300 students that this change in the facility of moving or removing the classroom that's in question would cause. Basically, that's about it. That's all I have to say, and thank you very much.
Your next speaker, Mary Finch.
My name is Mary Fent. I live at 4606 Gulfstream, directly across from the high school, and I am the neighbor that is protesting the minor amendment change. First and foremost, I would like to say I am a supporter of W.T. White, the ROTC program, the football program, and many of the other great programs at the high school. I am merely in disagreement with the Planning Commission's zoning decision, and I was out of town between July 26th and August 8th, the dates between when the letter was sent and the Planning Commission's hearing, and that's why I was unable to attend the hearing. Appealing to you is my only option. I am here requesting that the school move the building in question back within their existing development plan. It is my opinion that the Zoning Commission erred in determining that placement of this building did not alter the basic relationship of the proposed development to the adjacent properties. My current house is my childhood home. I have been a member of this neighborhood for the past 35 years. I am telling you that bringing a 3,072 square foot portable building to the middle of this field does alter the relationship of the building to the adjacent properties. Instead of green space, there is now a building in the middle of the field. Where the school was once contained, the buildings now sprawl to the street. I can see this building out my dining room window, and this is Ms. Hortensia Diaz's view from her house on Sugar Mill. And I do have copies of this if anybody else would like to see it up close. When the City Planning Commission passed Ordinance 25725 to create the school's development plan in 2004, it specifically limited the zone to a maximum amount of square feet and placed its boundaries close to the school building footprint. The commission did this for two reasons. It wanted to give the school enough flexibility to support any short-term needs they deemed important, but it also saw the dangers of unchecked building of portables outside the development plan's boundary. They clearly did not put pad sites scattered throughout the campus. They knew that if the school maxed out its space, had no other place to build portables, but needed more space, the best long-term solution for the students, teachers, and tax-paying neighbors would be a permanent building. The original development plan did what it was supposed to do. We all want an excellent school system, and granting this zoning amendment is not demanding excellence. As I said earlier, I'm for the school. I'm for its programs, I'm for all of DISD. I'm just requesting that the school keep their buildings within their existing development plan. Members of the City Council, you have the opportunity to do the right thing, deny the zoning amendment. This decision will force the district to look and think long term. This is something that will benefit the city, our neighborhood, and most importantly, students for generations to come. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Philip John.
Good morning. My name is Philip John. My address is 4544 Harry's Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75229. I'm here to support the new portable building for W.T. White. The reason being is I am a retired Marine, small business owner, and what we do with the Marine Corps Junior ROTC and the athletic program is to build character and leadership. And this is what our youth and our students need today. I have been involved in this program since it started at W.T. White as a volunteer. I have helped raise funding for the donation that was made by one of our organizations and one of our members of this organization of Marines in Dallas that have put this together. I'm very proud of what these young men and women have done. W.T. White Marine Corps Junior ROTC has more female members than they do male members. We have the leading female color guard and drill team in the state of Texas. Our students, the ones that graduate and stay with the program as seniors, out of the 24 that made and stayed with the program, because it's an elective program, they don't have to stay with it. We had only 5 go into the military, not all Marines. The balance went to junior colleges and colleges. Our organization has put 1 cadet at Annapolis in the Naval Academy and others into other colleges, A&M, University of Texas, North Texas, the University of Texas at Dallas. One is working as a junior on a full scholarship at the University of Texas at Dallas in mathematics. So I am very proud in this. I'm also saying that if anything can be done between my activities in this organization and my activities in the Boy Scouts, I'm sure that we can find some help and activities to improve the appearance of this new building that supports the athletic department and the new building that supports the Marine Corps Junior ROTC. Thank you.
Your final speaker on the item is Carl Crawley.
Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, Dallas, Texas, representing the DISD. You see me here all the time representing the school district. As Mr. John just spoke, this is sort of an ROTC-type program. This is actually a weight room that's proposed there, and the weight room that was previously used, the ROTC moved into to expand their program. Marsh Middle School is an award-winning program, and then when they came to W.T. White, they sort of downgraded the facilities they had, and we're losing students, and the ROTC is as Mr. John mentioned, is a very, very important program at W.T. White and Marsh. We have worked with the council member. We thank her for working with us. We've met with her several times. We have a plan that can't be before you today because of logistic and legal reasons to basically, we are required to plant trees in front of the building, between the building and the street. That's on the plan before you today. We have also agreed to ring the majority of the building with evergreen shrubs, some Burford hollies, large evergreen shrubs that will help. The building is green in color to blend in with the background of the baseball field that it's adjacent to. We gave to Councilmember Gates and a map showing that the district doesn't go into this sort of half-hearted. There are certain requirements, fire codes, for the children, the safety of our children that we have to meet. And really the only other place to put this building would be in front of the school. And I think we all agree that in front of the school would not be a good location. The weight room is between the baseball field and the football field, which is kind of almost appropriate for a weight room since those are the people who are going to be using it. But we have agreed, and as Mr. Cawthorn mentioned as the first speaker, that upon if this is appeal is denied or if the plan is approved, it goes back to the plan commission approval, that we will immediately process a minor amendment to memorialize, immortalize the proposed landscaping that we gave to Ms. Gates, and then we will move forward to that. That will then make that landscaping required. As Mr. John mentioned, there are Boy Scout organizations and ROTC organizations that would love to help us with community service projects. The maintenance, the executive director of maintenance and facility services for the school district is here. They know what they need to plant and are going to plant it. We just need you to, I guess, uphold the plan commission so that then we can move forward with the landscaping. Our neighborhood meeting that was held out there Sunday, there was issues about security on the campus. We want to meet with those people if they have security concerns, because believe me, we have more concerns about security if there are problems out there. Obviously, education is a number one paramount of our district, but security is 1.1 of that. We need to keep our children secure and our facilities secure so we can educate them better. So we're willing to work with the neighborhood on those concerns. Right now, we'd like you to approve this plan, and we will immediately come back to the Plan Commission with a plan for the landscaping that we've promised everybody. Thank you.
That is your final speaker on the item,
Mr. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll begin by saying I appreciate the neighborhood working with me, and I appreciate DISD meeting with me. And I also think it's very important to point out that the city has to have a partnership with DISD. We have to work together. It's in the best interest of the school district and also our great city to have to be partners. I also want to recognize Elizabeth Jones, our DISD trustee, that is present today and representing W.T. White. This situation is somewhat complicated. DIS, it is a minor amendment to their plan development. They were given money by ROTC to improve that program, offer space. They didn't have the space available within their expansion area, and they requested to be extended. They took space out of that and placed it in another place on campus. One of my concerns is the building is standing. The building is up. The city gave the permit for this building before the approval process. That is a concern to me, and I do not want it happening again. City staff has worked with me. It will not be happening again. It's not really fair to the residents for them to appeal something that's already sitting there, and then it looks like it's going to incur, you know, double the cost to DISD when it shouldn't have if the city had handled it properly. So we, as a city, will not be issuing permits before the total improvement process happens in the future, is what I've been told. It will not be happening in District 13. But the reality is the building is there. And I understand during the process through the CPC, it was a difficult time to get people to be engaged because it was during the summer. I made the opportunity available for any residents this past Sunday at Mrs. Fent's house. I met. She invited whoever she wanted to invite over. I asked that I really wanted to hear from the 55 neighbors that are in the 200-foot notification zone that were notified the first time, and some of them did not feel like they had ample opportunity because of the summer holiday. My office has calculated those numbers. I heard from 15% are opposed. About 5% are actually for the building that are in that notification zone. I also heard from numerous other neighbors and the ROTC kids and other W.T. White supporters and community that are in favor of this building. There's also some people that are outside that notification zone that are opposed to it. It's really opened up beyond just this minor amendment. It's opened up a communication, and it's brought to the surface some other considerations that this school and this neighborhood needs to work on. The biggest property to me that's affected is right across the street, and it's important to realize the place they put the building actually is the back of the majority of the homes. There are some homes that face Welch that see the building, but they're farther away. The building is closest to the backyards of homes on Sugar Mill. I only heard from one person on Sugar Mill, and the church property that sits closest to the building, Schreiber, is in favor of or is not opposed to this building and are working with the principal at W.T. White. I've also worked with DISD to find out how we can, you know, make sure that what they're agreeing on related to landscaping. The neighbors have recognized that they've added landscaping in the past. There's a dead tree where they say these trees will they'll put landscaping. We've got to, if you're going to add landscaping, we've got to take care of the landscaping and make sure it's watered and it's not just there immediately, but that it continues to be there for years. And we've got to address some of these other issues. But the other issues were related to the problem with portables on DASD, security concerns. They're a bigger picture than just this building. So I'm going to move forward that I move to affirm after meeting with all the parties, listening, giving everybody ample opportunity, and hearing the actual percentage that's opposed and then the percentage that is in favor. I'm going to move to affirm the decision of the City Planning Commission to approve the development plan with the understanding that DISD will submit a revised development plan to the City Plan Commission that shows the enhanced landscaping. I also ask that DISD and the neighborhood uses this opportunity to recognize that we have some communication concerns. I know it's Elizabeth and I have picked up the phone multiple times over this issue, and that we do what we can and you will do what you can, and then we'll work with better partnership with this particular neighborhood.
All in favor? Aye. And opposed? Ayes carry. Next agenda.
We move now to agenda item number 40, authorize a funding agreement between Dallas Area Rapid Transit, Downtown Dallas, Inc., and the City of Dallas for the operation of a two-year demonstration project for a downtown supplemental shuttle service.
Okay, Ms. Seal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, you will recall that this item was deferred 2 weeks ago. It was deferred by Ms. Grayson, even though the agenda may show that I deferred it, I didn't. Ms. Grayson actually deferred it. This item had come before the Transportation Committee 2 weeks ago. Ms. Grayson very wisely brought up the fact that the shuttle did not stop at the sixth floor museum. And particularly with this being the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy incident, it seemed wise to see if that modification could be made. I was in touch with DART. DART was at that meeting. They said they were willing to look at it and thought that that modification could possibly be made without any effect upon the start date of November the 4th. We brought this back to the Transportation Committee yesterday. Again, DART was there in force. They are here this morning. DART has been quite responsive to me every time I've contacted them on this or any other matter, and I appreciate your presence here this morning and your presence at the committee meeting yesterday and the extensive discussion that we had yesterday. The stop can be included. There is some additional funding. Downtown Dallas, Inc. is providing that additional funding, but the sixth floor stop, where you can go immediately to the sixth floor as you get off of the shuttle, can be included. There are a number of other stops. The DART staff was asked yesterday during the Transportation Committee meeting by Ms. Alonzo, by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, if those specific stops could be available this morning. Those specific stops cannot be available this morning. However, DART staff indicated that they could have a catalog of the 39 specific spots within about 2 weeks available for this council and the public. Additionally, in the discussion of this shuttle demonstration project, several council members asked about adding shuttle routes in other places. There were questions about adding shuttle routes Fair Park to Moore Park, Downtown Dallas to Trinity Groves, Buckner Boulevard from I-30 to the Horse Park and the Audubon Center, and Lancaster Road Corridor from Loop 12 to Illinois. Hearing those concerns, I asked the staff to begin looking at the feasibility of those routes and discussing that with DART. The staff has done that. They have begun looking at those potential routes. This demonstration route does not include any of the routes that I just mentioned. The funding available is for this particular route. It is possible that during the demonstration period, other routes can be added. However, there is insufficient information and funding at this time to add other routes to this particular shuttle route. That does not foreclose any discussion. That does not foreclose any future additions. But what my motion will go to this morning is just the downtown route. Therefore, my motion is as follows. I move to approve agenda item number 40 with the following changes. The proposed operating schedule commencing this fall will provide service at a frequency of every 15 minutes from 11 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The estimated operating expenses of this service are approximately $1,417,298 per year. The City of Dallas will contribute $400,000 per year. Parenthetically, that is not a change from the city's prior commitment. Downtown Dallas, Inc. will contribute $306,849 per year. Again, parenthetically, that is the increase necessitated by the additional stop and the additional times, and Downtown Dallas, Inc. is picking up all of that additional funding. That is my motion, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. We've talked about this before, colleagues, and so I won't belabor it. I really thank you for your support for this project. It's very important for downtown. Almost everyone who's touched this would look at the proposal that's before you today and call it imperfect. Let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Staff is working diligently on making sure that we can tweak this in the future to make it work. DDI has been a good partner in that. Do not for a minute think that I am opposed to adding routes into other districts, other neighborhoods, and other visitor attractions. I think I would love to run this thing out Ross Avenue to the bottom end of Henderson and Greenville. I mean, we could develop any number of routes. We should look at going over the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge. There are a lot of things we can do. We don't have the money right now, and this is a demonstration project. We need to make this thing work before we burden this system with further routes unless we're going to increase its funding. DDI, I will point out, is responsible for the Central Business District and is spending money for routes that will benefit areas outside the Central Business District. It's because they believe in the project. We've got to make it work, and I'm committed to doing that. I really appreciate them stepping up to the plate to provide additional funding for increased services. But for the time being, colleagues, I will absolutely support your request for other routes to be added to this thing in the future. Let's make this one work first. We're not even convinced that we've got the right vehicles for this project. DART has some issues with how it can spend its funding. We got the vehicles we could get. Again, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, but we're going to learn from this process, and if it's successful, we're going to expand it to other areas where we want our visitors to Dallas to go see for free on a hop-on, hop-off bus that's very inviting. Let us figure out the kinks and quirks, and I'll be very happy to support expanding it in the future. Thank you very much.
Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to follow up, Mr. Kingston, we're not convinced that future will be free, just so the public doesn't think this will forever be free. We talked about that in transportation yesterday, and there may be some tweaking to the free. This demonstration project is free, but moving forward, that may or may not be the model, just so the public doesn't get the idea that ad infinitum, this is free.
May I respond briefly, MPT Atkins?
Yes.
I understand, Judge, and thank you for your comments so that no one is confused. The idea for the project is free. If it's not free, it's going to fail.
Thank you. Ms. Hill, a question. There is a metal ramp that will come on Lamar to Southside at a later time. Is that scheduled at the same time from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.? In transportation, there was a dotted line that said that there would be another ramp come from the Omni Hotel down Lamar. Is that time scheduled?
Mr. Benoit is going to answer that.
That route is the evening route, and it's just an evening route that goes from the Omni.
What time?
Mr. Plesko of DART, will you come to the mic, please? Introduce yourself.
Todd Plesko from DART, 1401 Pacific. The evening portion of that route will continue beginning at 6 p.m., and it'll then operate up until 11:30, serving the south side of Lamar down to the Cedar Station.
So it will start at the Omni Hotel to go to south side of Lamar, then going to make a turnaround and the Cedars come back?
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to try to make sure that there was another time at 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. And Ms. Hill, you know, I brought up in transportation, free, the word free, you know, I was kind of amazed that we're going to do this for free for the next 2 years. But I do understand nothing is free. I mean, we are paying for that anyway with our 1 cent that we put into DART. So we are paying for that indirectly. In the city of Dallas is paying for the general fund, which is $400,000. And I'm trying to make sure that we are paying for this. And I think this opportunity is that in the future, I don't believe this is going to be free. I think they're going to be a point that we'll be going to different destinations throughout the city to have main major stop to visit, like a hopper bus going back and forward. I'm glad that we did make the stop from Dieter Plaza, you know, which we're now walking two blocks to get there, and that's a good response. I'm glad. Thank DART for getting back on a very, very sensitive matter, on a timely matter that we get this started before the 50-year anniversary. Again, thank you very much. All in favor?
One question.
Yes, Shepard.
Judge Hill, you said that route is designated for downtown only?
We call it the downtown show.
Okay.
But it will go to Bishop Arts.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
Correct. It goes
out to
Bishop Arts.
Thank you.
And it is a demonstration project.
Right.
We DART, Downtown Dallas, other private partners will be looking at all aspects of the service. Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, you are correct about the revenue. And DART acknowledged that. Mr. Monoy has discussed that with DART. That is one of the issues that will be looked at and discussed. And that will factor into determining what happens with future routes. Not this route, but future routes. Mr. Plesko and Mr. Monoy, have I correctly stated the tenor of the discussion?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Thank you.
Ms. Davis?
Let me ask a question. Who came up with this idea?
Who came up with the idea of the shuttle?
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, and I can't say specifically who came up with the idea, but our staff has been working on it for a few years, along with DART and DDI had conversations, so we came together as a team to basically we ended up with the route that we have.
Ms. Davis, I believe it was DDI.
Okay.
I may be misremembering, but I believe it was DDI.
And so what we're saying, Ms. Councilmember Hill, is are we extending it to just those areas that we looked at the last time?
It's the areas we looked at the last time plus the direct stop at Dealey Plaza.
Okay.
That was the concern, that the route that we looked at 2 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
did not have an immediate stop at Dealey Plaza. You had to walk about a block and a half or so to get to two blocks to get to Dealey Plaza. That was a concern, and it was a legitimate concern, and we had discussed it extensively in transportation before we brought it to this council.
And so in transportation yesterday, your decision, your committee decision was to let it stop there as well.
Correct, because DART brought us back a revised route and said that, yes, we can revise the route so that we can go directly to Dealey Plaza. You can step off of the shuttle and get to Dealey Plaza. That did add a bit of expense in addition to the additional time, but DDI is picking up all of that.
Okay. With that, all in favor? And opposed? Aye, carry. Next agenda.
Agenda item number 41 is an ordinance abandoning portions of Colorado Boulevard, an alley, railroad right-of-way, and a street easement to Southern Foods Group, LLC, the abutting owner, containing a total of approximately 32,279 square feet of land, located near the intersection of Colorado Boulevard and Lancaster Avenue, and authorizing the quitclaim.
Mr. Grigg?
I move to defer this item 2 weeks and to leave the public hearing open. And I was just going to say that the reason for that is this is a done deal. There's just some language in the meets and bounds that needs to be cleaned up by our city attorney, so they've asked for 2 more weeks.
Okay. All in favor? And opposed? Ayes carried. Next agenda.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 42 through 53. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. All of these items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 42 is authorize a 6-month professional services contract for planning, pre-construction, and design work related to a mixed-use development, including a new Vickery Meadow Branch Library, an affordable housing development with BMA Development Company, LLC, in the amount of $744,000, the sole respondent. Again, this item requires 2 seconds.
Ms. Gaze?
Thank you, Mayor.
To approve.
I just want to make a couple points to my colleagues related to this agenda item. This agenda item, I've received a considerable amount of feedback from the Vickery Meadow Improvement District, developers in the area, in the community at large, that they're concerned over the affordable housing being a component of this, that this is a very dense area and more affordable housing may not be good for this community. I am planning to approve the item, but I just want to point out that this recommendation is not, the money set aside has been recommended before today's meeting, and this is only agreeing that we as a city will be in contract with the DMA, the development, for the pre-development expenses only. It's not committing us to the development at this point. It's just the pre-construction. We have a meeting set up October, I think it's the 8th, with the community to discuss with the DMA staff, myself, and the community to discuss what they're looking for in this development. There are a lot of concerns at this point, but we're going to move forward, and we're going to continue to have open dialogue between the community and this developer that we're bringing on board at this point to find out what the community really needs and wants.
Ms. Davis?
Thank you. Councilmember Gates, let me say this. This was not briefed in housing. I see here that it has some affordable housing component added to it, at least that's what it says here. And so it was not briefed. It must have been briefed in economic development, all of it. And so I just want to make sure you know that we never got the briefing.
Right. It actually was, like you said, briefed in economic development. I attended that meeting. This is not agreeing to any affordable housing. This is just agreeing to engage in the contract with the DMA, the developers, and have that discussion on how they could develop the land while incorporating a City of Dallas library.
Okay, I think we need to take the word affordable housing development off of it. If the intent is not to do housing and if it's strictly just to deal with what you want, because what the reading here now, they have a mixed-use development that has housing component tied to it. And if you're not saying, you're saying you don't want the affordable housing tied to it.
Well, the neighborhood's concerned. It's actually not, Carl, can you come forward and answer this question?
With Jennifer, I think in economic development on this, we had it this week, it was saying there's a 6-month professional service contract with DMA to develop
the pre-developed expense only. That's all that we're going to do. Then it's still got to come back to council, and it's probably go back to different committees if you're going to affordable housing, because it's just a development expense only.
Well, you're talking mixed-use development, and normally in a mixed-use development, it has some housing component to it. But what she is saying is that is not the case. She doesn't want the housing component tied to it.
I don't think she said that, Ms. Davis. I don't think she said that, though.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Now, does the mixed-use development, if you're talking mixed-use development, you're normally talking about retail and housing development. So does this money, the 404 that is going into the planning of this, does it have to have a housing component added to it? Yes or no?
Yes.
It does. I thought so. And because of that, then that's what I'm saying to you, Ms. Gates. This is a planning grant. If you're talking about this type of money, if you're talking about mixed-use development, there is a housing component added to a mixed-use development. If you do not want the housing component tied to it, you cannot get this type of dollars. And that's all I'm saying. So that might be something that you guys need to talk to her about.
No, we understand that it may have housing, but it doesn't necessarily have to have affordable housing.
Well, yes, it does. If you're talking about this type of, let's talk off, let's move it forward, and then you and I will get together and we will talk about it. Okay. So let's go and move forward, and then we will talk.
Thank
about
you.
It.
And I would like to the plan that's developed. We could take that plan to the housing committee and have it briefed both back in housing and in economic development.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Well. Are we keeping the same motion? Are we changing anything?
No, we are keeping the same motion.
The same.
Thank you very much. Okay. You made your motion, right?
I made the motion.
Okay, thank you.
And we need a second.
Yeah, two seconds.
Two seconds.
2 seconds. Okay. All in favor? Who had a question? Chef, you had a question? You had a question?
I don't.
All in favor? In the polls. Eyes carried. Next.
Items 43, 44, and 45 must be considered collectively. Item 43, authorize the second renewal option for 7 business assistance centers for a 12-month service contract to provide technical assistance, incubator space, and other eligible support services to low to moderate income persons owning or starting micro enterprises. Item 44, authorize the cancellation of the contract and second renewal option with Greater Dallas Indo-American Chamber of Commerce, BAC number 8, located at 2750 West Northwest Highway. Item 45, authorize a 12-month contract to provide technical assistance, incubator space, and other eligible support services to low to moderate income persons owning or starting micro enterprises to Syntex Certified Development Corporation, DBA, Business and Community Lenders of Texas, BAC number 8, located at 1322 Record Crossing. These items require 2 seconds.
Lee Kleiman.
Yes. I just wanted to point out that while this is a very fine program trying to encourage entrepreneurial work within the city of Dallas, these particular contracts are very highly concentrated in the southwest area of Dallas, and I would like to encourage staff to seek out similar business assistance centers throughout the city, because I know we all have areas in our districts that can use this kind of help. So it's a great program, and let's just see if we can make it citywide as opposed to so geographically concentrated. Thank you.
All in favor? In opposed? I ask her next.
Item 46. Authorize the third of 4 12-month renewal options to the grant agreement with the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth for Economic Development and Protocol Services for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. This item requires 2 seconds.
All in favor? In opposed? Ayes carried. Next agenda.
Items 47 and 48 must be considered collectively. Item 47, authorize a development agreement with 1400 Bellevue GP LLC to dedicate future Cedars TIF district revenues in an amount not to exceed $441,225 for eligible project costs related to public improvements along Bellevue Street from Browder Street to South Ackard Street, Gould Street from Bellevue Street to Sullivan Drive, from Browder Street from Bellevue Street to Sullivan Drive, and Sullivan Drive from Browder Street to Gould Street in tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 4, Cedars TIF District. Item 48, a resolution declaring the intent of tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 4, Cedars TIF District, to reimburse 1400 Bellevue GP LLC up to $441,225 for certain TIF eligible project costs related to public improvements along Bellevue Street from Browder Street to South Ackard Street, Gould Street from Bellevue Street to Sullivan Drive, Browder Street from Bellevue Street to Sullivan Drive, and Sullivan Drive from Browder Street to Gould Street in the Cedars TIF District. These items require 2 seconds.
Move to approve.
Second.
Madrono? All in favor?
Aye.
In opposed? Ayes carry. Next.
Items 49 and 50 must be considered collectively. Item 49, authorize a development agreement with TEOF Hotel LLC to dedicate future Cedars TIF District revenues in an amount not to exceed $2,225,071 for eligible project costs related to infrastructure, streetscaping, and landscaping improvements at 1011 South Ackard Street, as well as along South Ackard Street and West Griffin Street, and tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 4, Cedars TIF District. Item 50, a resolution declaring the intent of tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 4, Cedars TIF District, to reimburse TEOF Hotel LLC up to $2,285,071 for certain TIF eligible project costs related to infrastructure, streetscaping, and landscaping improvements at 1011 South Ackard Street, as well as along South Ackard Street and West Griffin Street in the Cedars TIF District. These items require 2 seconds.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
In opposed? Ayes carry. Next agenda.
Items 51, 52, and 53 must be considered collectively. Item 51, authorize a 90% real property tax abatement agreement with 10 years with Commerce 20 Development LLC, a single asset entity owned by Hillwood Investment Properties for phase one of a two-building speculative warehouse development consisting of approximately 650,805 square feet located at approximately 98 acres within an enterprise zone near the intersection of Bonneview Road and Interstate 20 in Dallas pursuant to the city's public-private partnership program. Item 52, authorize a 90% real property tax abatement agreement for 10 years with Commerce 20 Development LLC, a single asset entity owned by Hillwood Investment Properties for phase two of a two-building speculative warehouse development consisting of approximately 488,565 square feet located on approximately 98 acres within an enterprise zone near the intersection of Bonneview Road and Interstate 20 in Dallas pursuant to the city's public-private partnership program. Item 53, authorize a Chapter 380 economic development grant agreement pursuant to the public-private partnership program with Commerce 20 Development LLC in an amount up to $745,000 associated with the site acquisition and new speculative warehouse development to be constructed on 98 acres near the intersection of Bonneview Road and Interstate 20 in Dallas. These items require 2 seconds.
I just want to, got 2 seconds?
We have 2 seconds.
Okay, thank you. Just a notice, the Hillwood Group, someone with Hillwood's here, Scott Venturewit, is here today, and I just want to thank Hillwood for the first time that in the last many, many years that they decide to invest in the Inland Port and Sheffield. You know, Jerry, there were many times that we have been saying, what can we do at Inland Port? So, therefore, thank you for doing a spec building for Megan Square Foot. Right now, as this year and last year, we don't have roughly over 3 to 4 million square foot have went into our portion of the Inland Port. So we are moving forward to have more jobs and more opportunity in the Inland Port. Again, thank you very much. All in favor?
Wait. Mr. Mayor, I want to publicly affirm the work that you have done in bringing the inland port along. We have come a long way from where we started from. I am well aware that without your personal input and your pressing forward, along with that of staff, we wouldn't have Hillwood on board. So thank you not only for that, but for all the work that you have done and continue to do. And collectively, we will bring the inland port to where it needs to be so that it is the true economic engine for this city, this region, that it has the promise of being. Thank you very much.
Ms. Allen?
Yeah, I want to second that. And the work that you've done and then your vision also for Panama Canal, what it can bring to Houston down to Dallas. So keep up the good work on that.
Well, you know, point is, you know, I hadn't done it by myself, but transportation, without transportation, the legislators that have done and put so much work into this, it's been a blessing. Again, thank you. Okay, do we have a motion, and we have a second, and everybody done pass it? All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Next agenda.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your morning agenda.
There was one person who came up, was late due to trying to get here with Jasper Becker. He was a morning speaker due to his handicap. I think he's over. Can we just have him speak?
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's put it right down.
Thank you very much. And I come in on behalf of the Backers Cleaners and Jasper Backers Jr. and Go Get It Fashion Wear. And what we're doing in economic development, we started a clothing line called Go Get It Fashion Wear. And we would like to invite all y'all out Saturday, September the 28th at 3 p.m. at Southwest Center Mall. We will be launching the clothing line that's also a movement. And it's the most powerful movement ever through a clothing line. And we just like to invite you guys out for the event. Appreciate
Thank you very much. We're going to come back at 1 p.m. It is 11:27. This has come to a close. Thank you.
I'm responsible for this.
Okay, we got one more. Come
on. We have one more announcement today. Councilmember Judge Von Seal Hill celebrated her birthday Monday. Is that correct? Monday. So we are going to...
Well, she celebrated her birthday on Monday, and then she closed Transportation Committee. We had to come back to work on Tuesday.
Oh, you did?
Because of her birthday.
Oh, okay. And my grandbaby missed your birthday by one day.
Yes, he missed the national holiday.
That's the national
by
holiday.
One day. And please be informed, colleagues and my million closest friends who are listening, Von Seal Jones Hill, Miss Maddie Jones, is now 65 years old.
Oh,
let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that. Well, I'm not a singer, so I'll let somebody else start.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Von Seals. Hey, Chef, we got to get a little better than this, Chef. We off key. Okay, it's 11:28. Meeting adjourned. Oh, sorry, we'll be back at 1 p.m.
Okay, it is 1:04 p.m., Wednesday, September 25th. I will now call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting back into order. We will take up our afternoon agenda items. Ms. Rios, I'll let you proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have your zoning consent agenda items, which included agenda items 54 through 58. However, Councilmember Griggs has pulled Agenda Item 54 on behalf of Councilmember Grayson. Agenda Item 55 is being pulled by Councilmember Davis. We also do have two speakers signed up on that item. Agenda Item Number 56 is being pulled by Councilmember Callahan. And Agenda Item Number 57 requires a three-quarters vote. Therefore, it requires individual consideration. Therefore, I will read Agenda Item Number 58 into the record. Agenda item number 58 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1893 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the southwest corner of Lake June Road and North Prairie Creek Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I'll move, accept the motion, Ms. Callahan.
Were you asking if those be individually or all together?
We're just taking the one item. I'm sorry, you came
in
just...
Was that 56 or 56?
58.
58.
58. Yeah, I recommend that we approve the recommendation of staff and CPC for approval on item number 58.
Second. A motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 54. A public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property zoned a CR Community Retail District with deed restriction west of Marsh Lane, north of Frankfurt Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And on behalf of my colleague, Ms. Grayson, I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission, subject to revised landscape plan and revised irrigation plan, which was distributed to all the council members. Thank you.
A motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 55 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 100,000 square feet or greater, on property zoned in RRD1 Regional Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay south of East R.L. Thornton Freeway and east of St. Francis Avenue. Yeah. We do have
Thank you for reading that in, but let's go to 56.
Okay.
And we'll come back to 55.
Thank you. Agenda item number 56 is a public hearing regarding an application for an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1863 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use, 3,500 square feet or less, on property zoned a CRD1 community retail district with a D1 liquor control overlay on the north side of Sine Road, west of Jim Miller Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor?
Mr. Chairman, Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202, representing the applicant. And we've had a conversation with Councilman Callahan today that we'd like to hold this case for 2 weeks to be considered at your next hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Callahan.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I just move that we defer for 2 weeks item number 56 and so we can work through some of these issues on the property.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Again, item number 55.
No, let's do 57. Let's 57? Just go all the way through. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. Agenda item number 57 is a public hearing regarding an application for an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1896 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 3,500 square feet or less, on property zoned in RRD1 Regional Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the south side, on the south of Lake June Road, east of Temple Cliff Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 8 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the area of request, a three-quarters vote of council is required to approve.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, you have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address.
Parvez Malik, Business Zoom, Commercial Real Estate Business Services, 1901 Central Drive. I'm the representative of the on the zoning case, and I have a conversation with Councilman Rick Callahan, and we will hold this for 2 weeks to revisit certain issues on the property.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in favor? Any further speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, before I make the motion, it's just come to light just this morning that we had a number of entities in and around this particular site that had some concerns, and we want to have time to work through those. So Parvez has been kind enough to allow me to do that so we can talk that through with the neighborhood and the owners of homes nearby. So I will move that we defer this item for 2 weeks, item number 57.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Just for the record, any items deferred 2 weeks today will be scheduled for the Tuesday, October 8th City Council meeting.
Take item 55.
Thank you. Agenda item number 55, again, is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 100,000 square feet or greater on property zoned in RRD1 Regional Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay south of East R.L. Thornton Freeway and east of St. Francis Avenue. There are two individuals registered to speak on this item, Dolores Wolf and Daniel Wolf. Ms. Wolf does have some handouts that we will be distributing. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and you will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. You will notice the timer on the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. Again, the first speaker is Dolores Wolf.
You may proceed. Members of Council, I live in East Dallas, and I'm here to oppose this request because I believe that this liquor license will stand in the way of a safe and vibrant community. In the handout, one of the things I outlined are the violent crimes that have been occurring on this property. The standard in evaluating this SUP is whether it's a detriment and safety issue to the community welfare, and I say that it is. It should be judged on its past record. For example, if you go into the Dallas police records and you run a search from January 1, 2005 to date, there are 3,999 crime reports on this property. If you run it for just the last 2 years, going back to January of 2011, there are 752 crime reports on this property. 752 crime reports. If you look at the crime reports for those periods, they are not simply all in theft stores. Rather, there's violent crime occurring on the outside of the property. For example, last month, a suspect had a gun, a victim had a gun that was pulled on her. On August 2nd, there was a fight that resulted in offensive touching. In July 2013, a suspect pointed a gun at a victim and wrapped the slide. In July, again, two men approached a victim, robbed her, and told her they had a gun. In July of 2013, again, a suspect hit a victim in the face and split her lip. In June of 2013, a woman's purse was taken at gunpoint. And the list goes on and on. In December of 2012, an 80-year-old woman was pushed to the ground directly in front of the store at 10 o'clock in the morning. The list goes on. You can read it. It's on the front page. I would respectfully ask that you deny this if you believe in East Dallas and you want to see it to be safe and vibrant. And I would ask that if you do grant the SUP, that you do two things as a condition. One, that you require Walmart to have two full-time security guards that are armed outside the property. And I say outside the property. There is one inside the property who does not go outside, I would suspect for safety reasons. And I would ask, that's true, I would ask that those officers be outside the property to protect the public so that the standard is complied with. Two, I would ask that the city require that they have an employee go out onto the property at least twice in a 24-hour period and clean up the shopping carts and the debris on the property. This is not your standard Walmart. Whatever you are picturing, this is not it. This is a filthy property that has been neglected and is unsafe. Please deny the SUP.
Your next speaker is Daniel Wolf.
Mayor Rawlings, council members, city staff. I also live a couple miles from this Walmart. I usually go to another Walmart in another part of town because...
You pull your mic up just a little bit higher. Thank you.
This Walmart is, it's not safe to go there at night. I don't take my kids there if I can avoid it. I've told my wife I don't want her going there, and I'm not the only one that feels this way about this particular property. I think one of the things that's really important is this Walmart currently does not sell alcohol, and adding alcohol to this mix will not improve East Dallas. It won't lower the crime in the area. It will only make things worse. This business has survived many years without selling alcohol. People are getting their alcohol someplace else, and there's no need to approve a special use permit for a business that's mismanaged the way this Walmart is. There are certainly other Walmarts in town that are viable and are permitted to sell alcohol. And I'm not saying this because I'm anti-alcohol, but I don't think it's going to improve the situation at this particular location. And I go there in the evening sometimes when I've had to. I see women there with their two or three kids. Those are some of the people who I think really need to be protected. In the letter, you see that a lady was had a gun shoved in her side while she was trying to put her kid into a car seat. This is not the kind of place that needs people going to get more alcohol. The people who go get more alcohol, some of them are already intoxicated, and that's not the kind of thing that we need to interject on this particular property. I think that if there is going to be an approval of this SUP, there needs to be some clear conditions. There needs to be some clear benchmarks. I mean, how do you know whether things have gotten better? Frankly, I think it would be better and more prudent to deny the SUP, tell Walmart to come back in a year or two and show some improvement, rather than to approve the SUP and say, you need to improve over the next 2 years. So that's my two cents, and I'm hopeful that you will be prudent and deny this SUP. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, please come forward. Again, you have 3 minutes to speak. State your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Myron Dornick, 5026 Maple Springs Boulevard in Dallas, Texas, here on behalf of Walmart. This Walmart store has had some issues in the past. Walmart, in fact, did a nationwide search for a new manager for this store a few years ago. There is a new manager that's been in place for over a year now. We've been working closely with the Buckner Terrace Neighborhood Association, and they have been very pleased with the new manager and with the progress at this store. And so we worked with the neighborhood closely on the improvements to the store. At all times now, there are two off-duty officers at this store, and the security patrols by Yale Security have been increased at the store. The neighborhood has been satisfied with these increases. They are closer than 2 miles from the store and have been seeing the progress on a daily basis. And so what we agreed to here was to, because of the progress that was made, was that we would apply for an SUP for no longer than 2 years without automatic renewal. So in a year and a half, Walmart would have to reapply if they wanted to continue to sell beer and wine at this store. There are some issues in the surrounding neighborhood with beer and wine and alcohol that are sold on premise in some clubs that are nearby.
That's right.
But this is so that our customers can have the convenience that East Dallas customers can have the convenience of buying their beer and wine when they're buying their groceries, just like everybody else. They want that convenience. They don't want to have to go stop at a convenience store or the Quick Trip or other places that are selling beer and wine nearby. So with that, I would respectfully request that you approve this SUP for a two-year period.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I move forward with the motion, Darlene Reynolds, who is the Neighborhood Association President for the Buckland Terrace Homeowners Association, she sent this. I received a request yesterday to let you know how the Buckland Terrace homeowners respond to the request for an SUP for the Walmart I-30 at Buckner at St. Francis. The current manager has done an outstanding job in getting this location cleaned up and have made great improvement. He has been in place for just a year, and they have held off this application to develop a relationship with the community, this location. We are pleased with the outcome. Any business that has 65,000 transactions a week has a lot of personality issues and visitors at this location. However, they have increased patrol, theft protection has been increased, and are making remarkable improvement. In reviewing the crime report, it is remarkable that so many thefts have been cleaned up by arrest. Is there a progress remaining? Yes, there is, certainly. However, they have shown themselves to be a good neighbor by improving their landscape and resurfacing the parking lot, many improvements in the interior of the store, and a change in the attitude of the staff. Yes, a change in the attitude of the staff. For these reasons and many others, the Buckland Terrace Homeowners Association support a two-year SUP without the option of an automatic renewal. I did call them yesterday. I did go to the last meeting. They did a show of votes, by hand votes, who wanted the SUP. We have a record. I made them put that into the notes. And I visit and I shop at that Walmart store as well. I was there on last night. I saw two patrols in the parking lot. The parking lot was clean. Now, since I've been going to the Walmart, I have not had any problem with anybody with going to my car. When I go to my car, when I leave that Walmart store, go to my car, there's a patrol in the front in the car, and there's one at the very back of the parking lot sitting in the car. I've gone into the store, and I get there about 10 o'clock at night, and one night I went at 1 in the morning, and it was not that many people in the store at 1 a.m. in the morning. And so, has it had some problems? Yes, it has. And they have changed the manager. I think this is about the third manager that they have gone through. This one seems to understand what the neighborhood is looking for. One of the meetings that I went to that the Buckman Terrace Homeowners Association gave, the manager was there. That's when he first got here. They made it very clear about the trash outside of the parking lot. They made it very clear about what's going on inside the store. This came from the neighborhood and the neighborhood president. So he said to them, give me 1 year. I was at that meeting. Give me 1 year, and we will do our best to fix the problem. And so I think he has done that. And do we need to keep monitoring this store? Yes, we do. But, Mayor, I would like to move forward with approval for this SUP with a two-year option automatic renewal. One of the things I have asked the Walmart staff not to sell is no Mad Dog, no 2020, and no Red Rose wine. And everything else they're okay with.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Okay. Discussion, Mr. Cadet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank Wolf for coming down and your input on this item. And I kind of feel the way you do. Walmart's a great store. I think the area they're in is probably causing the crime. But they need to move forward and try to get more security, possibly out in the parking lot rather than in the store. And so you know, I feel like I don't feel like we should reward them for having such a bad record. And they got a horrible record. I can't believe the citations and stuff that are going on out at this facility. I'll bet there's no place in Dallas that is this bad. So I, for one, don't say we reward a company for being that bad. There has been no improvement. They do need to make, and maybe during this, if this gets approved, they will come move forward. And if they don't, I'd suggest they don't, that permit gets yanked if it gets approved. But thank you guys for coming down. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadet. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I recognize that they have had issues at this given location, particularly the trash. It is a very heavily shopped store because it's on Arnold Thornton Freeway. There's 140,000 cars a day going back and forth across there. I frequent that store myself, and again, I'm concerned with the trash level. I haven't seen any of the violent incidences that they talk about. Again, I've gone in various hours of the day and the night and weekends. It's heavily shopped. There's no doubt there's a lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of people, little kids and so forth. But I'm convinced that they're going to get the job cleaned up. I think it's unfair that other stores in the neighborhood are given the rights to sell the beer wine, but we're trying to tell Walmart no. I think it sets a very bad precedence. I think we need to work with the management. I think you do see more security in the parking lot there. And I think I can speak for our business community. We're glad that Walmart's there in the Southeast Quarter. We hope that they'll continue to be there. But we want them to be a good neighbor. We want them to be a good steward. So hopefully going forward that we can have that.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Davis, thank you. You know, for going out and talking to the Neighborhood Association about the Walmart. And I'm going to speak from experience from my Walmart there in my district on Wheatland. You know, we did have the same concern with Walmart, you know, the dirt of the trash and everything. And we had numerous neighborhood community meeting with Walmart, and they did make a change. But I think the key is you got to embrace the store of Walmart and the personnel. And any business is going to have personnel issues, managing issues, right? But I think it's up to the community to bring things forward to Walmart. And if they not listen, then we need to do something about it. But from a store that on Wheatland, I look at Walmart that the reason there was trash outside, you had to go get the shopping cart and all these problems and everything. We went to the community, went to the neighborhood, started talking about it. Then we realized that what was going on at this particular Walmart, they couldn't handle the traffic. You know, we think about Walmart, how super Walmart it is, but you think of Walmart in my district, that 12 million people go to this Walmart on Wheatland, 12 million people a year. I mean, that's more than 10 times the population of the state of Dallas go there. Then you do have those issues, and that's why we had another store, Walmart, open up in 35 and Mountain Creek, and so for those issues. But they all listen. I think they are a good corporate sponsor here, and also good corporate relationship with the community. But we all not perfect. When companies have issues, it's up to the community, it's up to listen to that, but it's also find out is there a solution. And I hear from my colleagues, Ms. Davis, there have been a solution. You know, they went to the neighborhood. The neighborhood said, yeah, we want the store to clean the act up, and I think that we need to listen to the neighborhood more often. Sometimes we do not listen to the neighborhood, but in this case, Carol, thank you for reaching out to your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and for the neighborhood to come forward and say they are doing a good job. And I also thank you, Ms. Davis, going back to shopping at 1 o'clock at night, at 10 o'clock at night, and see for yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Kleinman.
It's just a bit of a point of clarification on the – is there a motion on the floor for – on the renewal that it...
I was going to clarify that. Okay.
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Ms. Davis, your comments, and then you said something that wasn't quite clear, so we need to make sure the motion...
A two-year SUP without the option...
Without the option.
Uh-huh. Without without the option of an automatic renewal.
Okay. And that's what you seconded as well? Who's Mr. Callahan, that's what you seconded? Okay. Good. Ms. Davis.
Thank you.
Do you want to say something?
One additional comment.
Go ahead. Why don't you go first, and then
okay.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. The comment I'd like to make with regards to the trash and carts and things like that that are out there, it behooves the neighborhood to call our code compliance. If they are not in compliance with our code, we need to get our code officers out there and make sure they are. So we do have methodology for dealing with that as well. I want them to be good to the neighborhood. I know these neighborhoods need places like Walmart, but Walmart does need to be good neighbors. I do appreciate the work Ms. Davis has done to really just determine whether they're making progress there and clearly want to support, you know, the need for these kind of things in her neighborhood. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
And let me say this. The manager, he is at those Bugnetaires Homeowners Association meetings. At least the meetings I have gone to, he has been there at those meetings. And I think it's good that he attends those meetings, because if there's any concerns about what's going on at the Walmart store, it gives him at least an opportunity to, number one, to fix the problem, number two, to try to get with his manager if he can't fix the problem. And that's why I went to some of those meetings. He has been at those meetings. And I think, number two, when I was there last night and I shopped late at Walmart, they have a company who, I guess it's a sweeper type of company, who sweeps parking lots. When I've been there late, I see the sweeper around 2 o'clock in the morning sweeping for the next day. Now, I have gone to Walmart on Sundays during the day at, say, 11 o'clock, 12 or 1 o'clock, and I see people, and they have trash cans all over the place. And I see people taking the trash out of their car and just throwing it on the ground. I see people taking the bags out of the store, taking the stuff out, and they take the bags and just throw them on the trash. I see people taking they'll take the water, for example. They might buy a case of water, and they're cooling them down, and they'll just take the whole bag and just throw it on the trash, on the parking lot. So is that fair for the manager? I think some of this is about education, I've seen where there's a trash can right here, and somebody will not walk just a foot to the trash can, and they'll throw it on the ground. So a lot of this, I think, is education. And the other thing I told the manager, the CVS in the same area sell beer and wine, but they would not keep the front of that CVS clean. So so what I've asked the manager to do is to talk to the other managers in the location and say, look, let's all get together and let's keep our stores clean. Let's keep them neat. Let's try to work together for the sake of the neighborhood. So when they came down just last week to meet with me, I talked to him and said, let's try to start some type of business meeting around that little area where each manager come together, talk with each other, and see what they can do to work together to ensure that they keep a clean neighborhood. And Walmart said, look, we'll take the leadership in it and try to make it happen. But what I'm dealing with is my CVS store that will not keep the front of their store clean. And I've been to that store, and it's not clean in the front. So I just think if we're going to do one, we just need to kind of look at all of them. But I thank you for coming down. I hear you. And so they will be back, and we'll see where they're at in another year or two. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Davis, thank you so much for your work on this issue. We need to keep Walmarts. Walmarts are good for our city and for our neighborhood. And Ms. Davis, thank you for saying what I was going to say, and I'm going to second that emotion, that the trash gets there because people throw the trash on the ground. If people would walk 5 more steps and put the trash in the trash can and teach children to put the trash in the trash can, we would not see the trash that we see, not only on the Walmart lots, but everywhere else. It's not Walmart that's throwing that trash down. It is our constituents, our neighbors, who throw that trash down. Please, anybody who can hear my voice, don't put any trash on my street. Don't put any trash anywhere on the streets in my town. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And coming in on this, let me just say that it is that when you look at who's putting trash out there, it is us. The first thing you got to do is admit where the problem is, and then begin to do something about it. One other reason that I talk about these cameras, and I'll just say that, because at 8th Street, at Ariel Thornton, at 8th Street, Ariel Thornton by the zoo, at Marcellus, 67 at Keith, 6735 at Camp Wisdom, at Laureland, I-30 at Ariel Thornton, all of those areas, and then on the parking lots itself, the trash did not just show up. Somebody threw it out. Mayor, I am one to, as we talk about, and we've had good meetings with these plastic bags. Had a very good meeting yesterday with Huddleston and those folks. We're still discussing. I want folks to know that issue is still up and well alive, but we're going to work it until we come up with a solution. But at the end of the day, it is a situation that Ms. Hill, as you're saying, we're going to have to educate, but we need to enforce. So, Teresa, you and the city manager's office, I'm looking for stronger enforcement. I would hope that you all would come back even to the Quality of Life Committee, and let's talk about enforcement of littering, okay? Just strictly and nothing but enforcement of littering. Let's utilize our community courts. Let's utilize writing tickets. Let's utilize cameras, and let's take on what we said, Ann Richards, don't mess with Texas. Well, don't mess with Dallas. We're going to have to take some type of position that's going to be an enforceable position. When people are riding down the street, they throw out the trash right out the street. We need to get their license number with our 311 new app. Just get that number. And when people understand that you don't throw Pampers out on the parking lot, and you don't just throw trash out and things like that, then we'll have a much cleaner city. But we can talk about it. But if we don't enforce it, Mayor, then we're going to have a problem, and we're going to continue to have a problem. So I'm with you, Ms. Hill. I'm with you, Councilwoman Davis. I'm with the fact that we can't hold these stores accountable for what is going on outside. Yes, when it is out there, it's their responsibility to have to clean it up, but it's still the responsibility of those persons that's throwing this stuff out here, that we enforce it to the fullest, and that they understand we're not going to play dirtying up our city, and we'll have quality retail and more people wanting to come. But when you get off and you're going to the zoo and you see all those bottles and cans and bags and all that stuff on Ariel Thornton at Marcellus, and you're going to the Dallas Zoo, that is something that we need to pay attention to. We used to have trash cans there, and for some reason we don't have trash cans. If indeed this is a state initiative, is TxDOT responsible for those exits or those spots on the freeway? Is that someone that can just answer, is that TxDOT's responsibility, or is that our responsibility? Whose responsibility is it to keep those stops clear and clean? Can somebody just tell me? Then I'll know. Somebody got to know.
We'll get you an answer, sir.
Well, I need an answer so I can. But okay. Well, let's. It, somebody got to know that right now. That's, I know somebody. Who, Mr. Costa? We don't have time to wait. I mean, I'm not talking about you rushing. I'm just speaking. We don't have time to wait to solve the problem. We're the city of Dallas. We're supposed to know. The mediums on the freeways, whose responsibility are the mediums on the freeway? And that, is that TxDOT?
On the state on freeways?
Yeah.
My understanding, and I would need to check with transportation,
okay,
is to whether I believe that's still TxDOT on most of the highways within the city of Dallas.
So then let's make sure that if it is TxDOT, let's get Senator Ross West down here. Y'all might be afraid to call these people's names, but I've got to solve the problem because I represent some folks that need and deserve answers. So let's get the state in here, and then let's find out. And then if they need to have some trash cans there and be the ones to maintain it, then let's take it off of our back and put it on the responsibility of those shoulders where it should be. If it is our responsibility, then we're not doing our job, okay? So we need to define, I'd like for us to define before today's end, whose responsibility is it on those particular areas? Is it TxDOT? And it's not just that, but those is what, that's what I'd like to know. And then wherever it is, then get a meeting and bring them straight to the quality of life, and then let's deal with it.
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just real quick, and speaking to what Mr. Caraway was saying, if I've got trash all over my yard and I live on a corner and they're throwing trash in my yard, guess who they're going to find? They're coming after me. So it's the same way with Walmart. They got trash all over their property. They are the ones who need to get it cleaned up. And I think they need to look real close. You say they go to the meetings, they go to the homeowners meetings, and they're there. They can't sit and tell me they don't know what's going on with all of these criminal acts going on their property, the trash all over their property. They know what's happening. So I don't know, why aren't they keeping it clean? Why aren't they trying to make changes to make it better now than wait 2 years to see how they do? So I still feel like it's just not right to reward them at this time to give them that sale when they're not taking care of the problem that's at hand. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the opportunity for the second round. Mr. Caraway, I just want to refresh your recollection. Those areas that you're speaking of, those are TxDOT areas, but if you will recall, TxDOT only does their major cleanup 4 times a year. 2 years ago, we determined that we wanted it done more often than that, and as a result, we took on the responsibility of keeping those areas clean. You remember, I have one at Hampton 67, Mr. Atkins has one, and you will recall, I know you have lots on your mind, but you will recall that it was the Southern Council members, including you, who fought hard to get into the city of Dallas's budget the money to keep those areas clean because TxDOT's cleanup rotation was less than what we were satisfied with. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Have we approved the agenda item?
No.
Are we still in discussion?
As soon as everybody stops talking, we're going to do it.
Let me just say one thing. Mr. Cadane, this manager is new, and I think, they have three or four different managers. And so with this manager, I think he has done a great job of trying to move this store forward and where I think where it needs to be. I think it's good for a manager to go to a neighborhood association meeting to hear what. And that Buckner Terrace just don't have one individual at their meetings. Their meetings, you know, sometimes have 60 to 75 people there. And not only that, I went to the Ferguson Road Initiative, who's close by. I went to some of the other homeowners association, and I mentioned this. And so they didn't have any concerns as long as Buckner Terrace continued to work with this manager and this store, they was fine. So knowing Darlene and the people and Carolyn Johnson and others who live in that area, they're going to stay on top of this store.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. You want to have some closing comments?
Yes, I will. Where's Chief Cato? He's just Chief Cato. I mean, we know your assistant city manager, Mr. Cato. You're always chief. Chief, now that and thank you so very much, Ms. Hill. Now that it's been clarified to know that we have some responsibility, what I would like for us to do, city manager, is to make sure that we take on that responsibility
on those immediate areas.
Yes, sir.
That's the welcoming mat when you come into Southern Oak Cliff. When they get off on H Street, when they get off on Marcellus, when they get off on Ewan, when they get off on Illinois, when they get off on 67 at Hampton and I-35 and at Loop 12 and there, those stop signs in those areas are simply littered, and they are overly littered. So if we can pay some attention to that, and then let's still deal with TxDOT, and let's ranch it up with them, but they got to be clean.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. And no more discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Yes.
For the record, Council Member Carraway voted no.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, Mr. Cadane.
Sorry.
So, what was that? Clarify that.
Council Member Carraway voted no.
It was Council Member Cadane voted no.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey,
yeah. Agenda item number 59 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a mini warehouse on property zoned in MU2 mixed-use district with deed restrictions on the south line of Lyndon B. Johnson Freeway east of Sperling Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 14 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and four replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the area of request, a favorable vote of 3/4 of City Council is required to approve this request.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, Dallas Cothran, 900 Jackson Street. We've worked pretty diligently with our neighbors, one of which is here and now is in support. Some of the others were not in this area, so it's hard to talk to them, but I think Councilmember Gates given us good direction. We're going to have a fancier building now that everybody is proud of, including my client. And so with that being said, I'm here to answer any questions. Our neighbor immediately to the south that's a business operator and owner of the building is also here. So happy to answer any questions you have.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Alan. Motion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We want to remind my colleagues, 2 weeks ago I did put this off until this week so that the building owner, so that we could look at, take a closer look at the materials they were using and also some egress into the property, and they worked with the neighbors and came up with a solution that I would like to recommend. So I would like to approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. The exterior facades must be in a minimum of 80% brick, stone, or decorative concrete blocks or tile, excluding fenestration. That the northern facade of the building, A, must be a minimum of 20% glass, inclusive of doors and windows. And number three, that the ingress and egress must be provided as shown on the site plan. Ingress and egress is prohibited off Sperling Road.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 60 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1914 for the sale or service of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a commercial amusement inside on property zoned in RRD1 Regional Retail District with a D1 Liquor Control Overlay south of East R.L. Thornton Freeway, west of South Buckner Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent one notice to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We've received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? We have one individual coming forward.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, Roger Albright, 3301 Elm. I'm for you today on behalf of the applicant. This was held 2 weeks ago, so I'd have an opportunity to speak with Councilmember Davis to resolve some issues she had. We've had that opportunity. I don't believe there's any more outstanding issues at this point. I'd just ask you to follow the staff recommendation, the recommendation of the Plan Commission. If Council has any questions, or I'd be happy to try to answer them. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Yes, I move to approve this agenda item, item number 60.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, at this time, Councilmember Medrano would like to be recognized.
Mr. Medrano.
Okay. I would like to deny item number 61 without prejudice.
Well, then we need to read it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let me read agenda item one. A public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for MU2 mixed-use district uses on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northwest line of Manor Way between Maple Avenue and Benton Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 57 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and 5 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation?
Yes, Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building. I appreciate the opportunity to have a public hearing before we vote. I, as early as this morning, thought I would be speaking on behalf of the CPC recommendation. This request site is in a TIF that the city has created that specifically calls for the elimination of industrial zoning. There have been numerous zoning cases, even one in this block face as recently as 2 weeks ago, consistent with our request. And we have a unanimous recommendation of approval from the CPC and a recommendation of approval from the city staff. However, it has come to our attention this morning that there are some community concerns that we were not aware of. And as a result of that, we would greatly appreciate the opportunity, rather than denying the request today, to be introduced to that opposition and be afforded the opportunity to meet with them, discuss our requests in greater detail. And so we would request that you postpone this item to allow that to occur before taking final action, or send it back to the Plan Commission to take it through that process again and ensure that those people who, again, were not present at the Plan Commission, and I don't believe are present today, that we have an opportunity to discuss our request with them. So that's respectfully what we request today, and at least give us the opportunity to understand what the issues are a little more clearly. And if we come back, if that's a month or a month and a half from now, and the issues cannot be resolved, then perhaps a denial without prejudice is appropriate at that time. But I think, not having been aware of the issues until 15, 20 minutes ago, we'd at least appreciate the opportunity to explore them a little bit further before this body takes final action. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano?
Yeah. No, I did meet with them earlier this week, and there was no design plan or any kind of development plan that I saw. And so that I had some concern with that. So at this time, I hope that you guys will support me. I move that we deny item number 61 without prejudice, and they can come back with the design later on.
Got a motion and a second. Well, I think we already had that, didn't we?
There was no second.
I'm sorry. We had it before, and then we read the record. Thank you. We had a motion and a second. Mr. Callahan.
I just have a question. I wonder why staff and CPC would recommend approval if there's no conceptual plan or anything like that. That doesn't make any sense. Why would they get that far in the process if there's no plan?
Is that a question for me or for the staff?
Sir, excuse me. He asked staff.
Okay.
Yes, sir. There have been numerous zoning requests within this area over the past probably 5 years that are kind of, you see the area transitioning towards a more residential mixed-use area with UT Southwestern and some of the other businesses within the area. In this particular request, the applicant originally came in with a proposal for straight MU2 zoning. When he came in with that request, staff did have some reservations because the traffic impact analysis they provided to us indicated that there was not capacity for the full density allowed by the straight MUT zoning. So at that point, there were some options offered to the applicant, either deed restrict the property to the FAR that was supported by the traffic impact analysis they did. That didn't seem to be a viable option, so they requested or the only remaining option to tie it back to a TIA was the multifamily, or excuse me, the planned development district to allow the MU2 uses. Typically, with a planned development district of this size, it's always a preference to have a detailed development plan. Where what we ended up negotiating with them was kind of a threshold, if you will, before they had to come back in with a new traffic impact analysis. Is that an ideal solution? Probably not, but lacking a development plan for what they actually wanted to do, that was the best we could do to kind of recognize the transition of the area to more mixed use and residential. But again, I certainly understand the concerns that without actually knowing the project that's going in on a pretty site-specific development, if you will, a desire to see more detail. But we went back and forth with the applicant, and this is kind of as far as we could get to tie it back to them having to submit a new traffic impact analysis should their development exceed a certain limit. So we were comfortable to that extent. This area is kind of unique in that it's adjacent to a DART line, but it's more or less halfway between the Inwood and I think the Brockbank station. So it's not as walkable, you know, it's not adjacent to either of those stations. So I think that's some of the concerns that have come up over the past, you know, several weeks, and how does that fit? But we did ultimately recommend approval with the understanding that at a certain threshold, they would have to come back in with a new traffic impact analysis. But so we were comfortable relative to the capacity of the roadway system. The building code now requires insulation, sound insulation as part of any structure within proximity to the airport sound overlays. But that's where the staff was in our formulating our recommendation for approval.
And may I ask the applicant a question? Why did you not submit a plan, you know, before this process here?
Sure. A couple of ways to answer the question. First of all, we submitted a straight zoning request for MU2 zoning. Straight zoning requests do not require development plans. And that is the way our request began. Then the issue that Mr. Cossum explained regarding the traffic analysis came up, and the city said, would you be willing to offer deed restrictions to mimic that? And we said, sure, we can do it that way. And then the staff wanted more control over the streetscaping. They wanted to be sure that there was going to be pedestrian-friendly tree plantings, wider sidewalks, and those kind of things. And those can only be done then through a PD. So we said, sure, we'll do it in a PD. The intent of the PD was to function just like those deed restrictions. But let me say, we're not opposed to doing a detailed plan. And this PD does require a detailed plan be brought before we can pull a building permit. But if we need to develop that detailed plan now, we'll do it. The reason we didn't include it with our initial submittal is that we requested a straight MU2 zoning. So again, if this confusion has been caused by our discussions with staff, we apologize for it. But rather than denying the request, we'd like the opportunity to go back and draw up that plan if that's what needs to happen.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Kleinman.
I guess maybe I want to ask Councilmember Medrano, why are you asking us to deny as opposed to postpone?
Some concerns came up with community members recently just this morning. They were here in the audience, and I want to go back with them and talk to them and get them in front of these guys and work this out some way. But actually, I was going to table it, but staff said that this is probably the better thing to do would be to deny without prejudice. So they can bring it back next week. Am I correct?
I think the initial staff concern was an indefinite denial. I mean, an indefinite postponement. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to schedule that for 6 months out, we can get you a date. The uncertainty of kind of indefinitely tabling something is a de facto denial. So if you choose to deny it, that's an appropriate way. If you'd like to give them a certain time period, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, we can. But a significant change would have to go back to the Planning Commission anyway. I think probably what the community's concern is there an imminent development, or is this kind of a speculative
And I haven't discussed anything with them. They came to me this morning.
It,
If the desire is a detailed development plan, one option certainly is just to remand it back to the City Plan Commission, because ultimately they'll have to see that detailed development plan to formulate a recommendation to this body on that. So that would be an option. The option to deny without prejudice just kind of moves them back one additional step to coming in and, you know, working from the very beginning. So they both more or less accomplish the same thing. I think it's a cost consideration perhaps for the applicant.
Okay.
So what are we motion to go ahead and deny without prejudice? Okay. Is that answer? The original motion is in place. Miss Judge Hill.
If we deny, doesn't the applicant have to go back and repay all of the cost?
Yes.
So it isn't the same. They have to pay if we deny. But if it could be put off, say, 6 months, Councilmember Medrano.
I can go with 6 months.
And at that point, if you're not satisfied, you could deny then.
I can do 6 months.
Okay.
Well, let me clarify, because perhaps between David and I, we've gotten you confused. If the objective is to develop a detailed site plan, that must go back to the Planning Commission. So holding it 6 months doesn't get it back to the Planning Commission. So there's two things that can happen. You can deny it. They can refile the case, pay new fees, and come forward again. Or you can send it back to the Planning Commission. He doesn't have to pay new fees. He can develop the site plan, and then it will come back to the City Council. So remanding it back to the Planning Commission does it without a new set of fees.
And that would initiate all the notification process over again in terms of remanding back to the Planning Commission.
So we're going to keep another motion, or are you going to keep this one?
No. Scratch it. Okay. Take it back.
All right.
Withdraw.
And Councilmember Callahan, who seconded the original motion, are you okay with the withdrawal of that motion?
He did.
Oh, Kingston. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
All right. So I move that we send it back to CPC, item 61.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, please, I need to read a statement into the record.
Please.
By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to send back to CPC. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your agenda items this afternoon. We proceed now with your afternoon speakers. Your afternoon speakers begin with Quentin Robinson, followed by William Hopkins, Ozumba Lunks, LaCoya London, David Williams, Kermit Mitchell, B.M. Randolph, and Dolores Phillips. If your name has been called, if you would please come closer to the podium, it'll help facilitate the speaking time. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. You're allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn, and it is important that you address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Okay. Quentin Robinson.
Please proceed.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to come and speak for a moment. Basically, I have a dilemma within the community here of Dallas. I'm 38 years of age, and I have experience working in security. I currently work part-time now as a account manager for a security company, All Unique Security and Patrol in Garland. I'm a victim and a witness to slander in the community. These slanders has been going on since I've been 8 years of age. I didn't find out about these slanders in the community here of the Fair Park area, South Dallas, where I grew up with my grandmother, I was born here in Dallas. We moved to Greenville, Texas, when I was about maybe five, and we came back. Okay, basically, my older brother, I found out when I was 29, has been telling people in the community that I'm literally retarded. I have a mental problem, I'm slow, and that is inaccurate. I have my school records here with me now. I've never been in special education, never in my life. And it's caused a great problem in my family, physical, mental, and even a disturbance in my own private condo with my girlfriend. And it's caused problems with my kids' mothers. They told this to the Attorney General's office. My mom filed a mental illness warrant against me in 2005 because of a jealousy of my education. I finished top 10% of my class at James Madison High School, National Honor Society, ranked number 10, and it's like they forgot I worked in security. Okay, my uncle has played on my phone. He's crossed my phone line as if he forgot I worked in security. I don't know who told him to do that. Come to find out, he worked for Vice. He never shared that with me. He shared it with my oldest brother. And I have a problem with it. So I'm looking to receive immunity for these comments and slanders against me due to the Fifth Amendment. I'm very disturbed by this. I would no longer live in Dallas, never again. I currently reside in Farmers Branch, and I think it's a great deal of a situation right now that I'm facing.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins is followed by Zumba Lunks, LaCoya London, David Williams, Kermit Mitchell, B.M. Randolph, and Dolores Phillips.
My name is William Hopkins. Mayor Rollins, the guy giving you the lawsuit again. That's the lawsuit. You want me to wait till you and Tanel get through talking, Mayor? You'll stop my time too. I can wait if you stop my time till you and Tanel get through.
I'm reading your document.
Oh, okay. The document you got is the lawsuit where the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued for our health care in 1981. You got Ted Cruz up in Washington trying to do a filibuster. All you, Rick Perry, Greg Abbott had to do is tell Tom, tell him that he won't have to do that because y'all got health insurance right here in Dallas. You sued, and just because we black, nobody here, no city council, I give it to all the city council members, the black, white, the Hispanics, everybody, and y'all sit here and let the people die in West Dallas. Obamacare, we don't need Obamacare because the state of Texas is the Ku Klux Klan. Rick Perry, his daddy got something about the N-word on his property. So he was raised, you know, calling us the N-word, this Rick Perry. So I don't look for him to help us because we black. But I don't know what to do with it. We got the FBI. We informed the FBI. I don't know if they the Ku Klux Klan, but they know that the city of Dallas and the state sued because we done told the FBI. They know that Fred Byron and Bud Law Firm handled a lawsuit and stole the money from the children in West Dallas. The FBI know it because I told them. The FBI know that Jane Sagenaugh was the head of the FBI when Clinton hired her to stop us from getting the money from West Dallas. The FBI know that because I told them. They know that, you know, the EPA, Jane Sagenaugh worked for the EPA when Clinton hired her, and it was illegal. So when I told them, they went told Jane Sagenaugh what I had told them, so they let her leave and don't say nothing. They let the white people leave, the FBI. Let the white people leave like Mary Soon and Tom Perkins. Tom Perkins writing the courts, telling the courts that the city of Dallas doing everything, but on that letter right there, the city said y'all didn't know nothing about it, Mayor Rawlins, that y'all didn't have nothing to do with it, that it was between some attorneys. This is what the letter you got in your hand. You've been sitting there 2 years letting the people die, you and Tanelle Atkins, Dwayne Carraway. That meeting y'all went to, Mayor Rawlins, surgery. It was for the Hispanics. It wasn't for the blacks. And they told me to come to the meeting. So what I did, I called some of my friends to go to the meeting because I couldn't make it. And the friends I called was Bunny Rabbit, I called Elmer Fudd, and Mr. Ed from the Talking Horse show to come to that meeting that you and Dwayne had served for, because I couldn't make it. So I had my friends to come and attend because I couldn't be there. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunks.
Okay, call Mr. Ed. Oh, all right. Anyway, I'm gonna call Mr. Ed too. Merrill City Council, the devil is busy. Racism is live and well in Dallas, and probably well it's everywhere. Once there's racism, there's always going to be racism. It's going to be here when God come back, or Christ come back. And there is no liberty, equality, or justice for Negroes or poor people. Very little, if any. Same old thing, just a different package, more covert than overt now. 200,000 people, you know, want to go to Mars. Mary said a four of them already paid their money. I forgot how many $100,000 they'll go to Mars. I hope the ship come back and don't get stranded up there. God wanted them up there, he would have put them up there. But anyway, they want to go to Mars now. Moon, Mars. Anyway, the world is in a warp mode, Merrill. We're living in Revelation. I told you to watch. You know, I pray all the time, Merrill. Slave reparation, 40 acres and a mule. And what about the lead and other contaminants in West Dallas that I've been under for the last 47, I forgot all of them. What's the 40? Anyway, I'm 67 now. Okay, I've been in West Dallas 64 years since I was 3. Yeah, what about our lead payment? What about the things that the city of Dallas, the county of Merrill, and the leaders let happen to us on that? I mean, where were you? You know, man is praising man, wanting man acceptance. We don't even know God or either love God. We love this world. Too many of us love the fruits of the devil. God is the only answer. This world is temporary. The world that Christ is coming back is everlasting. So I ask you all, you live this world. If you say you're Christian, you better watch it. Because the thing you do is going to come a wrecking day. And that's for me, too. That's for everybody. And I'm not all this and that. I'm a sinner, too. I ask God all the time to forgive me. I come down here and get kind of upset at it, go home and get on my knees. You understand me? wonderfully, tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. All right, come home. Jesus is calling, come home. That's the invitation. Don't go to sleep, Mr. Carraway. But anyway, God bless you all. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lunds.
Thank you. Your next speaker is LaCoya London, not present. David Williams. Mr. Williams will be followed by Kermit Mitchell, B.M. Randolph, and Dolores Phillips.
Good evening. My name is David Williams. I reside at 6331 Silver Moon Drive. And today I'm just here to say thank you to Mayor Rawlings for meeting with me last Wednesday on the cause of domestic violence. And I wanted to clarify that when I said victims are to blame, I meant that is what the youth learn when they witness domestic violence, and that can also lead to other behavior issues and things like that. I also wanted to say that I look forward to the press conference that you hold this October 6th, right? And that was basically it. Thank you.
Mr. Williams, I'm proud of you for not using a PowerPoint. No, that's good. You look like a main man doing that. That was excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Your next speaker is Kermit Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell will be followed by B.M. Randolph and Dolores Phillips.
Good afternoon. Kermit Mitchell, 5659 Marblehead Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75232, District 3. And as I'm here returning before you about the Dallas Convention Center Hotel, I'm just informing you that as there was indicating that there were, the city manager was willing to entertain proposals to purchase at full appraised value has been submitted. And what is the value of that is that interest rates are starting to decrease now. And consequently, we can possibly recover some of the losses that have been gained, have been lost. But they're going to be turned right back up again. So consequently, we have a short time window, if that be the case, move forward. Having said that, that's a positive thing. I was very much encouraged to come behind a positive speaker. But one of the things that I have before us is that we have had monthly financials for the Dallas Hotel, Dallas Convention Center Hotel, since 2012, monthly, all good. But we have not a audited financial statement. All it takes is just to take those monthlies and get a financial statement. Cannot move forward on any kind of reasonable purchase without financial statement. So we're asking that, let's say if we got all these rosy monthly statements and no financials audited, I'm only a plaintiff voice here at the open mic. But any one of you sitting in the horseshoe can ask and demand that some kind of report be made on $500 million that's out there of the city money. In fact, if any other constituents were to ask, then it would be something that would be of necessity for you to answer. We're looking forward to the audited financial statements for 2012. We would also encourage and ask that you might forward your attention towards getting a consolidated statement of those monthly statements that are coming in up to June 2013 so that there could be just a reasonable business transaction to go forward. Thank you, and that's all. I won't take much more of your time. Any questions of me at this point? Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is B.M. Randolph. Ms. Randolph is going to be followed by Dolores Phillips.
I'm continuing from last week, but first of all, I must say my name is Bernice B.M. Randolph. I am at Post Office Box 210, 315, Dallas, Texas. My phone number, Dallas, Texas, that's enough. Okay, the Bible tells us that we should attend church regularly. We also told that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To help us stay reminded of our Christian duties, I will read you the words of a song by the Jackson Southerners. And it's entitled, There Is No Excuse. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. Oh, there is no excuse for not serve in the Lord. People wake up on Sunday morning. I believe I sit down and eat. Then they'll say I'm not going to church because last night I didn't get enough sleep. Somebody would say that I'm not going today because I don't have what I want to wear. Others would say I'm not going today because last night I didn't fix my hair. People say, I'm not going to church because I don't like the pastor's wife. And I don't want Sister Sue to see me because, brother, she's been known to lie. Somebody would say, I'm not going today because I don't have my dues to pay. I'm even taking my name off the roll because the people just ain't right, no way. People say, I don't like the preacher because he wants all my money. And you ought to hear him going around the church calling the sisters, honey. But let me tell you this one thing. You can't worry about Sue and days. But one thing about this life down here, you have your very own soul to save. All right, I'm closing. But recently I joined a health and wellness organization. A doctor and his team developed the health and wellness products. Many testimonies have come forth from people trying the products, some for short periods of time. My sister Ruby, who is in Waco, is coming to Dallas this weekend, this Saturday, to conduct a party, and she is very good. On my way over here this afternoon, I received a call from the church, and I was told I'm not going to have the meeting there this Saturday. So on short notice, I need to locate a new place. And I want to know, is there a room in the city hall somewhere that will house about 50 people? And if so, who should I contact? I'm going to need a place for this Saturday, and the Lord said the same, we'll have a place. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Not yet. At the end.
Oh, okay.
Your next speaker is Dolores Phillips.
Hi, my name is Dolores Phillips. Address, P.O. Box 530236. Mayor Rollins, I stand before you to share with you that your city made me your poster child of racism by corruption. The 911 call that I spoke of that was altered to protect the names and the parties that I mentioned is true. And I must say that those who preceded me in speaking spoke of racism and the FBI and the connections, and I don't know them at all, never seen them until I came here. But what I will say is that my journey of racism is real, and you spoke of the trash being in the Walmart parking lot, and that's the trash that you can see. So thank the Lord for the trash that you can see, for the trash that you can see is easier to pick up and resolve. But when you're talking about corruption, deliberate corruption, ongoing cover-up of corruption that's hidden beyond the public's view, it's much more dangerous and much more eerie. And me being a minority, my process of having it brought to the full fruition of what it is, which is unlawful corruption, is a different process than if I was a non-minority. So I say to you today, I was going to play my 911 recording, but I need to get clarity from Ms. Kramer first. Is that I want to stand before you and have the opportunity over time to play those 911 recordings in its entirety to show you that you are over corruption and you're under corruption, and it's no true building of any person, city, or state with corruption looming. It's that's common sense. So I don't know why you would think anyone in the city of Dallas being a minority would put themselves under the bus, literally under the gun, because my truck was shot at, literally. Neck on the chopping block, literally, because I spoke of racism discrimination. That has also affected my fair and equal education, where white professors by Blackboard use racist assignments intentionally for retaliation because I spoke of racism discrimination. And one of those professors has links to the Dallas Police Department. Is that coincidental? No, it's non-coincidental circumstances. So I humbly say to you, with much due respect, Mayor Rollins, I will stand before you every Wednesday that I get the opportunity to do so, if the Lord permits, to show everyone that I am the poster child by force that racism of Dallas, Texas made me to be. The corruption is real. I'll speak of it. And being an American, I refuse to allow executive bullies to force me in the sad submission of silence because I'm a minority and I'm a woman. I speak the truth, and someone needs to do something, please.
Thank you.
You.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me, if you don't mind, just for a minute, Council, give you just a few things that are coming that I feel that are very significant. One, the State Fair, Mayor, you may have mentioned, but it starts this Friday. And of course, we want to encourage everybody. get out and go see the new big ticks and go to the state fair. And mentioning that the Chinese Lantern Festival is back at the Lagoon in the Fair Park, and it's very, very exciting. And I just encourage us and everybody to go out and check out the Chinese Lantern Festival on Sunday night at the Majestic Theater. It's a celebration of U.S. and China and friendship. Also, I want to say to you, Mayor, and to the council, this past Saturday we had an exceptional conversation as related to race, and I want to applaud you and council, Commissioner Elba Garcia, and I want to thank Councilman Kleinman and Councilman Allen for showing up and taking part. We're going to continue to move that ball forward, so you'll hear more about that. Monday, here in the Flag Room, we have the big press conference for Grambling and Prairie View. It's at 11 o'clock Monday, so we encourage you to get ready for that big game that's coming to our city. On Saturday, at 10 o'clock here in the chamber, is very important because, Mayor, we speak of how our kids are being educated, and one of the biggest issues is mathematics when they are getting prepared to take this test. This auditorium on this Saturday will be filled, this council chamber, at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning with youngsters learning math. And we have a guy that comes in that's going to do nothing but talk of math. It's called No Pencil, No Paper. And he will show the children how to do algebra and how to do mathematics. And they don't even need a pencil or paper. We've purchased about 200 books. And we have videotapes, and he will be here just, you know, teaching the kids that. I'm saying to the council, it's open. It is open for any kid to walk in. So if you know some kids in your districts, if you know some kids in the city, if there's a church group, there's not a charge at all, but it starts at 10 o'clock, and we want to take advantage of this, Mayor, and give these kids an opportunity, because we did this before, and every kid, when we did our college tour, we were out at Paul Quinn, and this gentleman, he captured all of the attention of the kids and some teachers that did not know how to do what this gentleman is going to demonstrate. So that is this Saturday. And lastly, I will close with this one. On Tuesday night, it will be our national night out at Keys Park. Councilman Griggs and myself, we're teaming up, and we're inviting everyone out to come to our national night out. Starts at 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Keys Park, and we have everything that's going on. I'm sure there are going to be others. Mr. Atkins is going to have one, I know, and there are others. You're going to have one, Ms. Alonzo, and you have four. But, Councilman, you got seven. Well, see, y'all have seven. You have four. Councilman Griggs and I, you got how many? 12. Good. Well, see, what Councilman Griggs and I are doing, and Councilman, you might want to chime in real quick. What we're doing, we're bringing all of our neighborhoods together so the mayor can come and spend a lot of time and not try to rush all over the city. So we'll have about 50 homeowners associations in our one location, and we're going to have a fantastic time. So I just want to say, Mr. Griggs, you wanted to say something. I see you just waving your hand to jump in.
I was saying, because I think there's going to be food. That's what's most important. We're going to do it right. We got barbecue.
We got barbecue. We got the Dallas Police Association that's participating. They're barbecuing our barbecue with the stolen barbecue rig.
It's back.
Relocated and back. It's just going to be some of all kinds of fun. So, Mayor, I just appreciate you letting us put all those little PRs in. And thank you so very much, Mayor. Move for Jeremy, please.
No. There's some. Please sit still while other people want to talk. Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Caraway, Mr. Greer, y'all learn from the master. Thanks for bringing all your home associations together. I've been doing it for the last 6 years, and I've just had over 60 come to mind. So thankful y'all learning. The newbies are still learning. And also, this past weekend, we had a groundbreaking for the Highland Hill Library, you know, which is going to be opened up hopefully before next year's school fall. So, again, Dwayne, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you. I will be having a couple of national night out, two, one at the Martin Luther King Center, one at Larry Johnson Rec Center. All the neighborhood associations are coming together. The Ferguson Road, I think they will be having one. And then Ms. Alistair Bates, The beauty about Mr. Bays is the seniors make their food. So they have it at her house, and so I will be going to that National Night Out, and they have real, real food. And so I'm very excited about that.
Thank you. Mr. Kidane, what are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. I got to be doing something. I just got to say, we did have our grand opening of the Children's Garden this past weekend. And the mayor was there. Ms. Gates was there. Mr. Kleinman was there. Mr. Allen was there. I believe I got everybody here that was there. But it was a fantastic opening, and this is really a unique garden. Everybody needs to see it. Thank you, Mayor, for being there.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Mrs. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. And I also wanted to mention that we started our Let's Play League, a co-partnership with Dr. Pepper, Texas Rangers, Minyards, for our kids in West Dallas, so we wanted to thank them. But also, Mayor, on Friday, Parker University, a university that is in District 6 in Northwest Dallas, they have a new president. And the new president, instead of celebrating his first year at the location, President Dr. Brian Olale, they did a volunteer service across the city. They took the students, employees, volunteered at Dallas Life, North Texas Food Bank, Educational First Steps, Goodwill Industries, Promise House, Resource Center of Dallas, and Park City's YMCA. So I want to thank them for participating at Parker Surfs. That's the annual event that they'll be having from now on to celebrate and thank everyone that has participated and or has enrolled. And for your information, Mr. Mayor, 30% increase in the enrollment at Parker University this year. So we're very happy and pleased and congratulations and hope there will be more.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. On the National Night Out, I'm really pretty excited out in my neck of the woods last year. And we start early and go till it, you know, all the way through dark. But last year I had more multifamily communities had National Night Outs than I had homeowner associations. And that's pretty cool. I mean, so I just want to share that.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Hill. And the meeting is adjourned at 2:32 p.m. Thank you.